Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 4:03, welcome in. A Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and a good one in store for you this afternoon. With you for the next 3 hours on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk, as well as great local programs like this one. Zach Reimer, the lead MLB writer for Bleacher Report, said to join us coming up in just a few minutes. Ed DeRosa of TwinSpires.com will stop by to give us his thoughts on this week's Kentucky Derby. And former Hawkeye outfielder and current member of the Chicago White Sox organization, Joel Booker, who was recently promoted to AAA, is set to be with us tonight in the 5 o'clock hour as well. All that and your chance to take home great prize inside the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. Tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium in July. 7 questions, 60 seconds. Whoever wins tonight will be off to see Hairball. And hopefully there are a lot of folks at Veterans Memorial Stadium tonight to take in that doubleheader between the Cedar Rapids Colonels and the Bowling Green Hot Rods. Wander Franco, one of the top prospects in baseball. I consider him to be the top prospect in baseball since everybody ahead of him has graduated to the major leagues. Will be in the lineup for Bowling Green, and you should get out to the ballpark and see him. You never know. He could be the next superstar. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And Alex, before we get into the top story of the day, which has to do with the Chicago Cubs announcing last night what they're going to do with Addison Russell when he's eligible to return to the team in 2 days, I want to give a shout out to a listener that we met today at Lunchbox Heroes. We were in Iowa City at the UI Pharmacy building, which Scott and Mark were there last year when that building was first being constructed. They've made a ton of progress on it. And it's always dangerous when you meet someone who actually listens to the show. Many people hear what we're saying every day. Very few people actually listen. And Corey came up to me today after we were done with the food line and said, "Hey, that show yesterday where you said anybody could come in and take a 5-minute turn coming in and sitting behind the microphone." He goes, "Oh, I'll take you up on that." He goes, "You do that, I do that, and then you go weld for 5 minutes. Oof. You do my job for 5 minutes." That's how buildings get burnt down. That's a recipe for disaster, Corey, so I'm not going to take you up on that.
The worst that can happen if he takes over for 5 minutes here is that we get in trouble with the FCC.
Oh, no, the ratings go up and I'm out of a job. That's the worst thing that happens.
That's true. The worst thing that happens if we weld for 5 minutes, yeah, let's not go there.
I swear to God, you know, the next time that I'm out sick, they put a trained monkey in here behind the microphone and more people are listening, I'm on the other side of Lunchbox Heroes. I'm the one in the food line. 319-366-1600, but it was fun meeting Corey and Travis and some of the other listeners to the program today, and always great to get out and about. As we mentioned, there's a lot to get to today. Including the NBA playoffs last night, which continue to be just sort of on the periphery right now. I don't think people are really diving completely into the NBA postseason right now, even though there are some compelling storylines. But the Cubs opened up an interleague series in Seattle last night against the Mariners, and that's not the major news story here. But Theo Epstein, who's the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, finally revealed what the plan is for Addison Russell. Russell, for those of you who may not remember, is serving a 40-game suspension for allegations of domestic abuse against his now ex-wife, Melissa Reedy. And the Cubs have handled this poorly at virtually every turn from the get-go. And they have a little bit of a public relations crisis here because Addison Russell's eligible to return to the big league team in 2 days. I think May 3rd is the first day that he can come up. And they finally had to address what they're going to do with him last night. They've got Javier Baez, who's playing sort of all-world shortstop in his absence, although if you talk to White Sox fans, they'll tell you Tim Anderson's better, and if you talk to Cardinals fans, they'll tell you that Paul DeJong is better, and if you look at MajorLeagueBaseball.com, they say Paul DeJong is better because they've got Javier Baez listed with the second baseman, even though he hasn't played second base since the middle of September last year when Russell was first suspended. Russell's going to remain in Des Moines with the Iowa Cubs. Once he's eligible to return to the team, they will officially option him to AAA. He has options remaining, so it's not like they need to worry about him clearing waivers or anything like that. And it's not going to make the problem go away. It's just going to leave it festering out of sight, out of mind in Des Moines. And people are still going to talk about this, and there still needs to be a plan on what you do with him moving forward. And this ties in somewhat with the Kansas City Chiefs and what they're facing with Kareem Hunt, which in my mind, I don't know how you do a power ranking of terrible things, but in my mind, Kareem Hunt would be ahead of Addison Russell on that hypothetical power ranking. But what do you do with these guys? 319-366-1600, and in particular, Cubs fans, as they have a huge following here in Eastern Iowa, and I understand and get that. I want to know what you want done with Addison Russell. Is it enough to just park him in Des Moines, out of sight, out of mind? Or are you hoping for another resolution to this? There are some people out there. Phil Rogers came completely unglued last night. I mean, just almost divorced from reality. Phil Rogers is a great baseball writer at the Chicago Tribune, and he took to Twitter just sharing some of the absolute most out-of-touch comments on the Addison Russell situation that I could even think of, and then he came back and he doubled down today talking about, is this a baseball decision or is this a public relations decision? And he's getting beat up and hammered for some of the things that he has been saying. But I think at this point, it's a both decision. It's a public relations decision, but it's also very much a baseball decision because Addison Russell hasn't been all that good.
See, that's my question. Why are the Cubs jumping through all these hoops for Addison Russell?
Because he's young and there's a thought there that there's something there.
Well, there's a thought that he might be good, but he's a good fielder.
If Tyreek Hill were 31 years old, do you think the Chiefs are even giving a second thought?
Yeah, but Tyreek Hill is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Like, Addison Russell, from wins above replacement standard, is when you measure out the fielding ability, which is very good, with the hitting ability, he's just above average. He's just above a replacement level player, and there's thoughts that he has potential to be really good, and it feels ridiculous to be talking about this when the other side of this is the stories that his ex-wife has brought very publicly to the forefront. It just I don't understand why the Cubs are sort of standing hoping for a redemption story when they have their shortstop. They have their franchise player at that position. And yeah, this is not a new revelation. This has been going on since we found out about these allegations. I guess I just don't understand why they haven't cut bait at this point.
319-366-1600. Did I mix Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill again? I've done that before. I get tongue-tied thinking about the horrible human beings that we root for as sports fans. Tyreek Hill is great. He's meeting with...
No, you said Tyreek Hill.
I did?
You said Tyreek
Hill. The text
Hill.
Line
yep.
is saying... text line is accusing me of being confused, which I got to get it. 90% of the time, they would be accurate. Perhaps this is one of the 10% where they're off. The problem here is, and I say problem here really loosely, I don't want to offend anybody because it's 2019 and we live in constant fear of offending people. But speaking from a baseball standpoint here, the problem is the Cubs know that they don't have any depth at shortstop. And it's not as simple as bringing Russell back and plugging him at second base, which is where he played when he originally came up, I think in 2011, 2012. I'm trying to remember. He came up. The Cubs still had Starlin Castro at the time. Castro was playing short. Russell played second. And then when Castro began slumping rather badly, they slid Russell over into shortstop. And then he was the team starting shortstop until pretty much last season. They don't have any depth there. And if you move Baez to second, which is a suggestion that a number of people have made, then you create a logjam at second base where you've got David Bodie and Ben Zobrist and Daniel Descalso, all three capable of playing that position, and just Russell at short with Baez. Their hands are sort of tied here. So they've got Russell in Des Moines right now, and they're hoping that, you know, Tommy Burch isn't going to write some scathing expose about him for the Des Moines Register, and people are just going to sort of forget that Addison Russell exists. And again, referencing what Phil Rogers said earlier today on Twitter, they're trying to maybe showcase him here a little bit to get some trade value for him. Do you want your team trading for Addison Russell right now? Do you want that? All of the baggage that comes with that. And then
I just don't know at this point how they're going to build his trade value back up.
The discussion here always circles back around, at least it should in certain instances, to second chances. And who deserves a second chance and who doesn't? And now you've got the Cleveland Browns. They clearly believe that Kareem Hunt deserves a second chance. Kansas City lets him go. And Kansas City didn't want to let him go because they knew that another team would come in and sign him, and they did. And Kansas City doesn't want to let Tyreek Hill go because they know the same thing is going to happen. And you go back to the draft several years ago, there were reportedly a number of teams that didn't even have Hill on their draft boards because of what he had did when he was in college.
Right.
Kansas City had... And they knew they got a steal. They got a value in the fifth round. The Cubs know, and they knew this winter. They had a very simple solution this winter. They could have non-tendered Addison Russell. They could have just not given him a contract, and then he's not their problem anymore. So they chose. They made their bed, and now they don't necessarily want to ruffle the sheets. And pull back the covers on it.
That's the most surprising part about this whole thing, because sure, those other two examples that you used, the Kansas City Chiefs knew that another team was going to pick up Kareem Hunt. They have a pretty good idea that if they do release Tyreek Hill, another team is going to pick them up, but those guys are absolutely players that you don't want to be playing against. Those guys are going to succeed on whatever team that they go to. I'm not saying Addison Russell is a bad player, but are you really all that upset if you cut bait with him and see him sign with another team? Does it really concern you that much? I guess that's the question that they answered, and it did.
He's 25 years old.
Right.
Which is practically a baby in terms of baseball. 27 is usually coming into your prime. It feels like Addison Russell has been around forever. But they know that if they had cut him loose this winter, they just didn't offer him a contract. It's not like Addison Russell is going to be a substitute gym teacher or he's going to wash cars for a living. They knew some team was going to come in and pick him up off the scrap heap for nothing, and they don't get anything for him. And that goes back to the argument with what the Chiefs are facing with Hill, what they faced with Hunt. Is you've got these guys are assets. It's hard to view sports through that lens, but that's what they are. And you have a diminishing asset here in Addison Russell, but would you rather get nothing for him or would you rather get something for him? And
I just don't know at this point if they can get something for him.
They could get something for him.
Right now?
Right now, I'm telling you right now, there's a team that would be willing to trade for Addison Russell in a heartbeat.
Well, then why hasn't it happened?
because I don't think the Cubs want to trade him.
You don't think that they have been trying to shop him around?
If they didn't want him in the organization, they would have non-tendered him this winter. They made the decision to bring him back. They want him in the organization. They want to give him a second chance. Does he deserve a second chance? Again, who gets a second chance and who doesn't? 366-1600. That's a question that I know is impossible to answer, and I'm asking it of all of you listening to the program right now. Where do we draw the line? Who gets a second chance and who doesn't? Because there are a number of people out there that are defending Addison Russell and saying he deserves a second chance. He hasn't screwed up. You do the time, and you come back, and you should be able to get a fair shake moving forward. That's how some people view this. He's suspended for 40 games. Okay. Message sent. Was it received? Has he been a better human being? He's not. There aren't any stories about him being a bad teammate or screwing up in Des Moines. So what do you do? How long do you punish somebody for a misdeed? And where's the line? I know. I understand that this isn't a fun sports topic to talk about, but it's a sports topic, and it's one that hits home right now with a team that a lot of people here in Eastern Iowa really care about. 366-1600. I've been up front from the get-go. I don't want this guy anywhere near the team. But there are still plenty of fans out there that do. And I saw it last night. I was reading a lot of the comments on various stories that were posted after Theo Epstein made his comments. There are Cubs fans out there. Their first angle on this is the shortstop depth. Oh, they don't have any shortstop depth. What do you got down in Des Moines right now? Dixon Machado. I haven't looked at the roster lately. I'll make it over there to Principal Park one of these days this summer. But the people that just want to be sports fans and look at this as a sports fan, those are the people here who are factoring into the discussion. Because from that standpoint, you keep this guy in the organization. Because you need, what happens if something, Javier Baez tears a hamstring tonight? Who's playing shortstop in the immediate future? Ain't going to be David Bodie. It's not Daniel Descalso. Chances are, it'd be Addison Russell in 48 hours when he was done. So I get it. It's not a fun topic to discuss. But you can't just ignore it because you don't want to talk about it. I think that's sometimes how we get into many of the messes that we do. It's an uncomfortable topic. I don't want to talk about it. This is an uncomfortable topic. I don't want to have an opinion on this. This is an uncomfortable. Let somebody else handle it. Let somebody else talk about it. Enough people do that, and nothing happens. Nothing gets discussed. Nothing changes. But I want to know. And it doesn't have to just be, look, this isn't just a Cubs topic, because I'm rolling other guys into this, other sports too. Who gets a second chance? And who is the arbiter that decides who gets a second chance and who doesn't? Who's worthy of second chances? 319-366-1600. If the third caller here, we got Jeff and somebody else, and if the third name pops up there as Jeff, I'm going to be really confused. Let's go to Bottom Jeff and Jeff on line four. Jeff in Cedar Rapids, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
I'm great. What's on your mind, Jeff?
Well, if those guys do the crime, they do the time. But I'd bring them back and let them start out at league minimum, and just let it go at that. If they really want to, it's just like second chances in the real world. It's but those guys are role models. So the biggest thing is they need to go to jump through a lot of hoops and be out here talking to these kids and seeing what happens, talking to these high schools and college kids about doing all this, But on the same token, how many, you hear hearsay from the victim, it's like how many of them are just screaming just to get some publicity and get some money? And that's the other flip side of the coin. So you can, two sides, but it's a touchy subject. But, like I said, Let him play for the league minimum. That's it. Don't give him any more of this high price. And that goes for all the players in all sports. You know, we give him this guaranteed like Russell Wilson. You know, who's to say someday he won't do something like this, but he's guaranteed, you know, X amount of dollars. You know, these high-priced contracts need to go away, you know. And I think it needs to be a performance-based, you know, Bryce Harper. That's great. He's done it for the last 6-7 years, but what happens if he goes on the downhill? Then what? You know, Philadelphia's locked into 10 years of making, you know, paying all that cash out. You know what I mean?
Jeff, appreciate the perspective there. I think if you did that, you'd have Tony Clark from the Major League Baseball Players Association, the union, on line one. You can't take away somebody's money and give them the league minimum. Doesn't work that way. And also, why do these guys have to be role models? I get it that lots of kids and even some adults look up to these guys, but I hope my son has better role models than athletes. I really do. And I guess that's incumbent on me in how I raise him, but you have no idea, nothing, no idea what some of these guys are actually like. And I've shared stories before. I know people who are named after athletes. I've shared this story before. I watched the 2016 World Series with my son when we came home from the hospital after 3 months. And all I wanted to do was hold him and watch baseball, and we're watching the Cubs on their way to the World Series. And I want to pick out a player that he's going to be his quote unquote favorite player for a while. I'm thinking all these young players, who can we assign to my son as his favorite player? Guess who I picked? One guess. We even had the little miniature jersey and everything, number 27. Oh, Addison Russell's not going anywhere. He's the shortstop of the future for the team. 366-1600. Be better. Find better role models. Teachers. Members of the community. Don't just fall back on these athletes, because a lot of these guys, no. Bad idea. Let's go. I want to get all these phone calls in here before we get to Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report coming up. We go from Jeff to Jeff. Is that what we're doing?
That's correct.
Another Jeff in Cedar Rapids. Yes, Jeff. Go. Jeff number two. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to get your opinion on the Cubs brought in Addison Russell, and they want to keep him, and they're going to get a bunch of grief for it. When you hear stories about athletes going to New England, the Patriots, I know it's different sports. You know, it's kind of like, oh, they'll save him there. Why is that organization able to get away with taking in players with baggage? But, you know, if the Cubs are going to try to hold on to him, they're going to get a bunch of flack for it. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I think Josh Gordon probably is the first player who comes to mind there.
I think that maybe they throw Randy Moss into that. But those are guys that had much less baggage, much less severe baggage. Josh Gordon, and not to diminish drug addiction, but you don't see the New England Patriots bringing in a lot of guys that were charged with domestic violence
You don't think if Bill Belichick could get Tyreek Hill tomorrow for pennies on the dollar? Maybe I'm just too cynical.
Oh. Would Tyreek Hill cause any problems in the locker room? If the answer is no to that, I think that Bill Belichick would consider it.
Let's go to Matt. Jim in Cedar Rapids. Jim in Cedar Rapids is up. Matt, hang tight. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Hey, I'm a huge Cubs fan. And when this all broke out about Addison Russell back last spring, he wasn't too forthright coming out in front and admitting he had a problem. And then once the Cubs finally did learn about it, Madden just sort of pushed it away till I think Major League Baseball actually made him come up and give a response. So the Cubs I don't think they've done their part really in making sure that he's turned himself around. And then when you listen to his press conference in spring training, it was like an attorney wrote everything for him, and he was just very solid when he spoke about it. I don't think he really is going to be a changed guy. I mean, the guy's got three kids from three different women in Florida. He's a young guy, not much of a role model. I mean, I'm a huge Cubs fan, but I think the Cubs have got to cut him loose. You know, he's not the person they want front and center for the Cubs, I don't think. Hey, thanks again.
Jim, appreciate the thought, and Yeah. And they have, and I've, again, I've been very forthright with this. They have mishandled this from the get-go. Joe Maddon, when he basically came out and said that he didn't even bother to read what Melissa Reedy, that's Addison Russell's now ex-wife, she wrote that detailed blog post about the physical and mental, emotional abuse that she suffered. And Maddon sits in front of the media and goes, I didn't even read it. Now, I didn't use those exact words, but he said he didn't read it. And it just comes, what it reminds me of was a situation in Iowa City over a decade ago where Steve Alford immediately came out and took Pierre Pierce's side. And we all know how that turned out. But, and you're a coach, you got a guy in a locker room, 1 of 25, you go to bat for your guys. And that's admirable in that culture. But man, it can get you in hot water in the real world. And it certainly did with a lot of fans. Let's squeeze in Matt in Fairfax before we take a break. Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report coming up with us at the bottom of the hour. And another day, another dying magazine. This one's really going to hit close to home if it happens. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, when you guys are talking about, you know, guys that deserve second chances, I'm a big Chiefs fan, and to me, Hill already had his second chance. And you just have to cut bait with him. You can't let someone be on your team with that kind of a past. I don't care what severity of it is now. You have to get rid of him.
I agree with you. The problem is
there are no third chances in this case. I'm all for second chances in certain cases on a case-by-case basis, but if you blow that second chance, no, that's it. I'm still shocked that he is still a part of the Kansas City Chiefs.
So Russell gets a second chance because he's only had one.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is this is the illustration here of
right.
There's no answer to this because you have a number of people that are sitting out there saying, okay, this is the first time that he screwed up, so he gets a second chance. Now, in Tyreek Hill's case, we've had previous, they knew what he was coming out of college.
Right.
And they still brought him in.
The other problem is if you give somebody a second chance and they screw up again, that makes you look really, really bad.
Here's a book of matches and here's a pile of really dry leaves. I don't want to assume that you're not going to start the fire, but oh, by the way, this guy just got out of prison for 5 counts of arson. That's kind of what the Tyreek Hill situation was going into the draft. They knew, and they decided they were going to roll the dice on him anyway, and now, a couple years later, they're paying the piper. And now he's out the redemption tour. Same thing with Russell. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, writes this glowing piece about Addison Russell, almost painting him as the victim. Tyreek Hill is out there talking to boys' clubs, trying to spread the don't do what I did. This is, it's so transparent. You can see through or should be able to see through all of this. These guys pay a lot of money to public relations firms and handlers and people that try to create or redefine that redemptive story arc. Don't buy into it. But who gets a second chance and who doesn't? 366-1600. Something. I do something stupid tonight. I get arrested. Say I get arrested tonight for doing something stupid. Do I get a second chance tomorrow?
What did you do?
Well, okay. So now then you get into the what ifs. Then the levels. Okay, this is a level one offense. Now he's fired.
Well,
level two offense, you just don't hear him on the radio for a week, and then he comes back and he pretends like nothing happens. Level three offense, I'm here and I'm holding my breath that no one reads the police blotter.
The problem in sports, though, is that the levels get all jumbled up. What they consider to be level one offenses are not what society would consider to be level one offenses. A guy who beats his girlfriend or wife, a lot of those guys get second chances. Whereas a guy who smokes pot or is a disturbance, we've seen other situations.
Or in the case of Josh Rosen, is an environmentalist.
Or is an environmentalist who doesn't need football.
Not even a crime.
There's no place for those guys in sports.
Trade him. Trade him tomorrow. 4:33, we got to get you a big board update coming up on the other side of this. And Zach Reimer making his debut on the show, the lead MLB writer for Bleacher Report. Ed DeRosa, TwinSpires.com, stopping by in the 5 o'clock hour. Joel Booker, the newly minted Charlotte Knight, just one step away from joining the Chicago White Sox. He'll be with us at 5:20 tonight as well. Lots more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way. 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, and streaming online at kgymradio.com. Back with more after this.
A mother used to wear a crisply pressed dress, ride along on Sunday drives with the family, and serve meat and potatoes on the everyday china. Now a mother lives in leggings, hauls kids around in the SUV, and serves quick, healthy meals on family-friendly plates. Yes, moms have changed a lot over the years, but her teen and stalker jewelers still knows how to make them happy on Mother's Day. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering lovely gifts and helpful suggestions to children, and sometimes dads, to make Mother's Day especially special. This Mother's Day, come to her teen and stalker and choose beautiful colored stone jewelry, spectacular diamond earrings, radiant pearls, or some other gift that mom will treasure. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit, but when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex Decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex Decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
4:36, welcome back in. We're definitely going to revisit this topic coming up in the 5 and 6 o'clock hours, at least one of them, because I think people have a lot more to say on this. So stick with us. The text line still available to you, 319-366-1600. Zach Reimer of Bleacher Report coming up with us momentarily, but we do owe you a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can check out their location on Independence Drive in Iowa City or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert. Here's Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz took some time to explore candidates to be Reese Morgan's replacement, but by all accounts, he has found his man in former Northern Illinois and Rutgers defensive coordinator Jay Neiman. He's going to serve as an assistant D-line coach under Kelvin Bell and will also handle defensive player evaluations and recruiting. Jay's the father of former Iowa linebacker Ben and current linebacker Nick. The Iowa baseball team's hosting Western Illinois this evening, making up a postponement caused by weather yesterday. First pitch set for around 6 o'clock, and this is Iowa's last game before it hosts 25th-ranked UC Irvine. Iowa basketball got one step closer to some good news this morning, as it's been reported that Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey has narrowed his list of destinations to only Iowa or Vanderbilt. Harvey was a top 50 recruit with offers from Duke and Villanova just 2 years ago. Some fans have made it a point to note that Harvey played on an AAU team with Luka Garza. Iowa State's Ashley Jones accepted an invite from the USA Basketball for a second straight summer. After winning a gold medal in the FIBA Americas Women's Championships with the under-18 squad last year, she'll be running with the under-19 squad this year. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Colonels are at home tonight as well, playing a doubleheader against Bowling Green. Top prospect Wander Franco in town with Tampa Bay Rays affiliate. First pitch of Game 1 at 5 o'clock. Gates open at Veterans Memorial Stadium as we speak. Joining us now on the program, though, continuing our baseball discussion and baseball-heavy Hour 1, Zach Reimer of BleacherReport.com. And, Zach, let's go ahead and I want to start with the topic that we've spent a great deal of time already on this afternoon. The Cubs have announced that Addison Russell is going to stay in Des Moines when he's eligible to come back from his suspension on Thursday, I believe is the first day he's available to come back. What do you think the Cubs should do with Addison Russell, and how do you think they've handled this entire situation?
Well, in terms of how I think they've handled it, that's kind of my answer to the what I think they should do question as well, is that I don't even know why he's on the team at this point. Given everything that went on with him last year, given that they didn't even really need him at shortstop because they have Javier Baez and a pretty good collection of infielders, given that they were going to need to pay him a pretty good amount of money, knowing that he was going to be suspended for the first part of the season, I just don't understand quite why they wanted to bring this guy along for the ride this year. And I don't know. That's really all I'm comfortable saying, is it's just beyond that. Just, it's a very delicate situation, obviously, and I just don't know why the Cubs are kind of rushing headlong into dealing with it this year.
Let's stay in the NL Central with the Cubs. They're playing a lot better baseball. What do you make of this race so far, and do the Cardinals at the top have some staying power?
The NL Central race has been about as wild as I think anybody could have expected, given what went on over the offseason. A lot of activity. Pretty much every team came into the season as looking to contend. And, you know, it's right now that arrangement with the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Brewers on top, and the Pirates and the Reds struggling to keep up, that's probably going to be the status quo for the rest of the year. And the Cardinals, really the only thing I worry about with them is whether or not that starting rotation is going to hold together. It was kind of thin coming into the year. Now, who knows if Carlos Martinez or Alex Reyes are going to be factors in that rotation all this year. But what they're doing right now is they're playing great defense. They're getting great offense out of that lineup. And if those two things can carry them, I think they'll be fine. But the Cubs and the Brewers are definitely not going to leave them alone.
Zach Reimer, the lead MLB writer for Bleacher Report, joining us on the show. Christian Yelich or Cody Bellinger, which one is more likely to keep up their hot start?
Probably Yelich, because he's been doing this pretty much since last year's All-Star break. I think his total OPS since that stretch is up over it's in the 1200s, I believe, with plenty of home runs, close to 40. And just, you know, he was a guy who was a great hitter even before the Brewers got him. It was just a question of whether or not he would tap into his significant raw power. He started doing that, and now he's up there with the Mike Trouts and Mookie Betts among the best players in baseball. So I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there's nothing at all, like not at all fluky about what Cody Bellinger is doing so far this season, having great at-bats, whereas last year he was kind of often in between whether or not he wanted to work counts or look for a pitch to hit. This year he's clearly going hunting for pitches to drive, and he's really, really hitting the ball well. So as long as he stays locked in, he's going to keep hitting.
On the other end of the spectrum, there are a lot of pitchers out there. We talked about this yesterday. A lot of starting pitchers, especially aces, the elite-level guys that are struggling to begin the season. Is there one or two that you really are concerned about at this point?
Chris Sale, I think, is the guy who stands out, where it's just, you know, there have been starts this year where he's had good velocity but no command. There's been starts where he's had pretty good command but no velocity. Hasn't really put that whole Chris Sale-like package together where on a good day he's throwing the ball 96-97 with pinpoint command, throwing guys wipeout sliders, these Bugs Bunny changeups. Have not seen the total package from him this year. And you can kind of point to, they brought him along slowly in spring training, so he's still kind of working on some kinks. But I do wonder whether or not the shoulder injury that he had last year that basically wrecked his second half, if there might be some residual effects from that. You know, more so than the Aaron Nolas, the Noah Syndergaards of the world right now, Chris Sale's the one guy where it's just like, this is not good.
What about Max Scherzer at this point? Should the Nationals be concerned about his health?
His health? Given that he's a mid-30s guy, he's been a power pitcher for how many years at this point, I do think there's kind of a built-in concern about his health just by default. But listen, when he's pitched this year, I mean, I know the ERA is up at 4.12, but he's got 54 strikeouts in 39 innings with only five walks. So as long as he can stay on the mound, he'll be fine.
When you look at the AL East and the Yankees and their ability to stay afloat, how impressive is what they've been able to do despite just the myriad of injuries they've experienced?
It's extremely impressive. I actually wrote about this the other day where basically half of their wins above replacement that they generated all of last year are on the disabled list right now, the injured list, excuse me, as well as I think 40% of their payroll. By all rights, either one of those should be a kiss of death for this team. I mean, they should have the opposite of what they have right now in terms of their record. But they've maintained their identity. It's still power pitching. It's still power hitting. It's just different guys doing the work, which speaks to not only the depth that they came into the season with, but their ability to kind of dig guys up like your Gio Urshelas and your Mike Talkmans and guys like that. So, you know, you just got to tip your hat to them and, you know, give them credit for the way that they've weathered the storm.
Zach Reimer with us, the lead MLB writer for Bleacher Report. The story so far this year in Major League Baseball has been this wave of young talent making its way, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Eloy Jimenez, Fernando Tatis Jr. Which young player have you enjoyed watching the most through the first month of the season?
Probably a tie right now between Pete Alonso and Fernando Tatis Jr. Alonso is just, every ball he hits is a rocket. I mean, he's got some of the best raw power in the game already. And Tatis is a guy, you know, he plays a really good shortstop, and he's a really, really good hitter, just really kind of a rare kind of superstar level talent, especially for that San Diego Padres organization that for much of my lifetime anyway has been largely anonymous. So good on them. And it's refreshing that with Alonso and Tatis especially that they were brought up, you know, at the break of spring training. There was none of this nonsense where the Mets and the Padres were going to send them down to spring training so they could just for long enough so they could gain an extra year of club control. That may have, you know, that's not technically against the rules, but I think it's right that there is a larger outcry against that practice now, because in a day and age where young talent has completely taken over Major League Baseball, the stuff like that just shouldn't fly anymore. These guys are ready for the show.
I know Eloy Jimenez is on the injured list, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. has come up, and he's played a pretty solid third base. But when you look at those guys, do you see them possibly being future DHs, or do you see them having a spot in the field?
Probably more so Jimenez, just because he has kind of that strict DH profile where he doesn't run very well, not a very good outfielder, so he's probably ticketed for a future at either first base or DH. With Vlad, it's like, okay, you may be able to play a functional third base for a couple of years, but maybe down the line, once again, if it's not DH, it's definitely first base. I kind of shrugged my shoulders at that, though, especially with Vlad. He's such a talented hitter that even if that's all he's going to give you, I mean, listen, Miguel Cabrera has been a strictly a hitter his whole career, and he's headed to the Hall of Fame. So if you have a guy with a bat as talented as either one of these guys, it really doesn't matter.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, CC Sabathia picked up his 3,000th career strikeout last night. First ballot Hall of Famer, yes or no?
First ballot? You know, without reviewing all of the numbers to make that call, I honestly don't know. But I would lean yes on him for the Hall of Fame overall. You know, especially now where it seems like kind of pitchers burn out pretty quickly after just a few years. He's been in the league for almost 20 seasons at this point, and he's been good for almost all of it and in different ways, too. Came up as a power pitcher. The speed started to go. He completely adjusted his game, and he's gotten himself an extra four or five good seasons from that adjustment. And the numbers, you know, they're over close to 3,500 innings at this point, not counting what he's done in the postseason, which is pretty, I think, underrated part of his track record. So just a guy who's pretty much done it all as a major league pitcher. And, yeah, I think he's headed for Cooperstown in the end.
Zach, we have the Minnesota Twins on our North Gym 107.5 FM all summer long. What do you make of their start, and do they have staying power to contend in the AL Central throughout the summer?
I do think they have staying power. Actually, they were my pick to win the division coming into the year, in large part because I really liked what they did with their offense over the winter, getting all that extra power, and it's really shown. Power hitting has been their calling card this season. I think they lead Major League Baseball and extra base hits right now. And the contributions are kind of coming from up and down that lineup. So I like that part of it. I would like it if their pitching was a little bit better, but the one kind of advantage that they have, especially in that AL Central division, is that the competition isn't very great. And the one team that is a threat to them is the Cleveland Indians, and the Cleveland Indians can't hit. So there's that.
He's at Zach Reimer on Twitter, the lead MLB writer for Bleacher Report. We appreciate the time, Zach. Thank you very much.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And speaking of the Twins, they continue their series with the Astros. 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home for Twins baseball all season long. Miguel Sano approaching a return to the Twin Cities. Somebody else is approaching a return with the Twins. La Tortuga spotted running in the outfield today. He's eligible to come off the injured list next Thursday.
What injury did our guy have?
As John Kruk used to say, you can't, well, it was Rod Beck or John Kruk.
My dad used to always say this too.
You can't
pull fat.
I know
what you're about to say.
Yeah, exactly. You can't pull fat. I think it was Rod Beck, but for some reason I want to prescribe that to John Kruk as well. But Willens Astudillo, La Tortuga, quickly becoming my favorite Major League Baseball player. And that's behind Javier Baez and Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson, who compares himself favorably to a modern-day Jackie Robinson.
That's a bold strategy.
Fertile
Cotton.
Ground for another segment altogether. But look, I never would have expected a debate a month into the season over which team in Chicago had the better shortstop. And it is a real discussion in Chicago sports talk radio right now. Tim Anderson or Javier Baez. 319-366-1600. I'd take either one of those guys on my team.
I'm not going to have that debate yet.
I've got one of them.
Because I want to see Tim Anderson continue it, but he was awesome in April. I mean, just flat out awesome.
Keep
and I hope he keeps
those
it up.
Bats. Keep
exactly.
Flipping those bats and keep upsetting the apple cart.
Absolutely.
That's all I have
both,
to say.
Both those guys do that.
By the way,
both those guys upset the apple cart.
Gates open at Veterans Memorial Stadium for the first of two, the doubleheader with the Bowling Green Hot Rods. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette reporting that about 90% of the people that are inside the ballpark right now just hanging out by the Bowling Green dugout trying to get an autograph from Wander Franco. If you miss out on him, I have a feeling you can probably pick one up on eBay later tonight. 4:51. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will set the table for what's to come in a quite busy hour number two. Two great guests. We'll tell you all about them next.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
When you walk MS, you make an impact on the lives of people affected by multiple sclerosis. Together, you are a powerful force. Team up with friends, loved ones, and coworkers May 4th at the New Bow City Market. The walk begins at 10 a.m. and everyone is welcome.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. chips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now, 800-510-7517.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
Head to Sprint today to get the new LG G8 ThinQ. This phone is packed with features like Crystal Sound OLED, where the entire screen is the speaker, and Hand ID to easily unlock your phone. With 128 gigabytes of memory, you won't have to worry about running out of space for your treasured pics and videos. You can even use Air Motion. With just a wave of your hand, you can easily access your phone's favorite functions, answer calls, and more. Right now, get both Sprint's unlimited plan and the new LG G8 included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. All you need is approved credit and an 18-month lease. No trade-in required. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/LG, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
Phone $15 a month after $20 a month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Canceled early. Remain balance due. Unlimited basic after 6/30/20. Pay $32 per month per line without a pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Speed maximums. Use rules and restrictions apply.
So what do you think? Is CeCe Sabathia a first ballot Hall of Famer? Yes or no? It's the poll question today at KGYMradio.com, presented by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them conveniently located and tucked away on First Avenue Southeast here in Cedar Rapids. CeCe Sabathia collecting career strikeout number 3,000 last night. And I had to laugh. I looked at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line during that last break. The last text we received, referring to the North Gym, not as the home of the Minnesota Twins, but your home for Astros baseball, seems like they're always on. They've played 2 series in close proximity, and then this past weekend we also had Houston. I believe they were playing Cleveland as part of the ESPN baseball coverage over
That's
the weekend.
That's true. We've been really programming our station around BJ and Marion.
BJ and Marion has loved needs. His life with us over the last week and a half or so, as we've brought the Astros are so fun to watch. I mean, they hit up and down the lineup. They've got great starting pitching, and they've got a great bullpen anchored by a guy who was arrested for domestic violence in Toronto last year, and Toronto worked out a trade where they were able to send him to Houston and make him somebody else's problem, because the fans in Toronto wanted no part of Roberto Osuna. And the Astros fans that have him now are very conflicted about his performance, but he's got 7 or 8 saves this year. And until he falters, they're going to remain conflicted. It's like my line with Aroldis Chapman when the Cubs traded for him in 2016. Didn't like it. They don't win the World Series without him, and that particular chapter in that story is never going to go away. It's never going to be rewritten. And you have to view that through that prism of they knew what they were getting when they made that deal, and they made a cutthroat baseball decision, and it's one that paid off. Just like you heard Zach Reimer, he wouldn't even had Addison Russell tendered a contract this offseason. It just would have jettisoned him. That would have been a ballsy play. And the Cubs didn't have the fortitude to do that. 319-366-1600. Can you imagine a world with no Sports Illustrated in it. We have that story for you coming up. Also, a new detail today on the demise of the Alliance of American Football, which may explain why the league didn't even last a full season and went belly up almost immediately. This is going to make a tremendous 30 for 30 someday, which is ironic because this all sort of seemed to come about from
a 30 for 30
on the XFL.
And what goes around comes around, right?
It really is. I mean, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust here.
The story that you mentioned, we'll get to it, but it absolutely explains why the league nearly missed payroll in week two and needed Tom Dundon to come bail it out. That entire chapter was written earlier today by Darren Rovell.
I've got a lot of friends. I know a lot of friends. They would, if you ask them, hey, what do you want to do? What would you do if you could do anything? Oh, man, I'd love to own a bar. I'd love to own. Who wouldn't want to own a bar, right? Do you have any experience owning a bar? Do you know how much money it takes to run a bar?
See.
Wait, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
And this is that in real life with a sports league as opposed to a bar. I've always wanted to run a sports league. What's the worst that could happen? You can't make payroll in week two. That's the worst that can happen.
See, running a bar sounds great. I've just been exposed to so many people that have run bars and seen how they react and how much work they have to do, and now I don't want to own a bar.
It ain't the underwear gnomes on South Park. You don't just sit back and collect a profit, I can tell you that much. Joel Booker is coming up with us in about 25 minutes inside the 5 o'clock hour, plus Ed DeRosa of TwinSpires.com will give us some insight into the 20-horse field at Churchill Downs this weekend for the Kentucky Derby, plus another Alexander Lumber Big Board update with our producer, Kyle Mann. It's all in store for you in the next 60 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Brian Windhorst reports the NBA is rescinding the technical fouls called on Warriors forward Draymond Green and Rockets center Nene in Game 2. A total of 7 technicals in the playoffs brings a 1-game suspension. Green now has 3. Only one NBA playoff game tonight. It's Game 2 for the Trailblazers and Nuggets in Denver. The Nuggets took Game 1. Yankees lefty CC Sabathia is the 17th big league pitcher to record 3,000 strikeouts. It came in a 3-1 loss to the Diamondbacks. ESPN's Buster Olney makes the Hall of Fame case for Sabathia.
If the character clause is that important, then CC Sabathia, what he did on the field as a player, as well as what he was and has been as a character in baseball, then he should be a slam dunk.
Buster Olney on Baseball Tonight. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Raiders running back Isaiah Crowell will miss the 2019 season with a torn Achilles. He got hurt during a workout on Tuesday. He'll have surgery next week.
Coming up on Thursday, what lengths will NBA players go to get an edge? Because Draymond praising the refs is one heck of a spin. Plus, the Giants' bye week is week 11, so do we see Daniel Jones before that? That and more Thursday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This Mother's Day, don't try to pull the wool over mom's eyes with a last-minute gift. Get ahead of the rush with 1-800-Flowers and their truly thoughtful bouquets. Don't settle for anything less than the biggest and brightest bouquets from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers has an exclusive 30 for 30 offer. 30 assorted tulips for just $30. With a bright and beautiful mix of orange, yellow, and pink blooms, these assorted tulips are guaranteed to make her smile. Assorted tulips are the perfect way to surprise all of the moms in your life. Wife, sister, grandma. Tulips from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from premier farms and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 30 assorted tulips for only $30 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Wednesday. To order 30 stunning assorted tulips for only $30, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL.
5:02, welcome back in. The Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programs such as this one and the Gym Class. You can catch Scott Unash and Mark Dukes every week, Monday through Friday from 3 until 4. They'll be revealing the Athlete of the Week coming up on Friday's edition of the program. Joel Booker, former Iowa Hawkeye standout and newly minted member of the Chicago White Sox AAA Charlotte Knights, is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. Iowa in action tonight at Duane Banks Field, set to take on Western Illinois in a game that was rescheduled after yesterday's game was washed out. Lots more to get to on the program today, including NFL over-under win totals. Now that the NFL draft has come and gone, how did Vegas see the draft making a difference for teams? We'll have all of that and more before 7 o'clock, plus an opportunity for you to pick up a pair of tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium as they come in July. This could not have worked out any better because there's breaking news that we can discuss with our next guest. It's Ed DeRosa of TwinSpires.com, a website that's going to get a lot of play coming up soon in the state of Iowa once the state legalizes sports gambling. But Ed is with us to break down what was a 20-horse field for the Kentucky Derby this weekend at Churchill Downs, now apparently a 19-horse field. And Ed, this is big news, but Omaha Beach is no longer running. Is that correct?
That's right. He scratched. Sounded like a throat issue. Not sure when. But Tim Layton of Sports Illustrated breaking the news. DRS, Jay Privman confirming. And obviously devastating news for the Connections. This is definitely one of the better stories of the Derby, along with, of course, one of the more talented horses since he was the favorite. But we do still have a 20-horse field because Bodie Express was an also eligible. So for the first time ever, you will be able to bet the number 21 in the Kentucky Derby because Bodie Express does draw in.
How wide open is this field now with Omaha Beach being scratched?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was competitive, even with him in it. He was a horse I didn't really think had to win, and one, to be honest, I was going to bet against. Certainly don't like to not get the opportunity for this reason, though. So this just opens it up even more, and you're trading the favorite in the race for the horse who will probably now be the 18th or 19th choice, I would say. So that definitely changes up the dynamics quite a bit for the wagering of the race, and even more competitive because you basically slotted in one of the longer shots now.
Ed, I've got a former coworker who absolutely loves the Kentucky Derby. Every year he clues me in on who his pick is. He loves Game Winner this year. 5-1, one of the favorites. What can you tell us about this horse?
Yeah, Game Winner undefeated as a two-year-old, and he won a race at Churchill Downs. So he's based in California. But Bob Baffert shipped him east for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he got the job done that day. He has not won either of his races as a three-year-old. Some call that a chink in the armor and wonder if he's been able to progress. Maybe he's not the same horse he was as a two-year-old. They were good races, though. So if you're a fan, you're getting the right price because it's the Derby. He might be the favorite now, but even as the favorite, like I said, if you believe in his talent, there's no reason to get off him because he's run well enough in his first two races. I am going to try to beat him, though.
One of the big storylines heading into this Kentucky Derby is can Bob Baffert train a horse that wins for the sixth time win the Kentucky Derby? Of the three horses in this race, is it Game Winner who has the best shot to do it?
Game Winner will be bet like he has the best chance. I definitely think he'll be the lowest odds of the three Baffert runners. I actually like Improbable Best. He's another horse who has not won at three. Omaha Beach beat him last out, and before that he got run down by Long Range Toddy in the Rebel down in Arkansas. But I have a lot of respect for this one's talent as well. He was, like Game Winner, a very fast two-year-old. And last year we saw Baffert break the Apollo Curse with Justify, a horse who never even started as a two-year-old. And this year, with Improbable and Game Winner, I feel like it's a throwback to his 90s Derby winner, Silver Charm and Real Quiet. They didn't win a race as three-year-olds before the Derby either. So Bob knows that different horses require different training styles, and I think he's harkening back to the old days and bringing these along old school.
Ed DeRosa with us. TwinSpires.com is the website. The Kentucky Derby run this weekend. We'll have it for you right here on KGYM. We've talked about some of the favorites. Is there a horse with longer odds that you think could maybe play into a winning wager?
Yeah, I like two horses who are 20-1 on the morning line. By My Standard and Tax are their names. They're numbers 3 and 2, respectively. By My Standards won the Louisiana Derby. I definitely think he has a big shot to replicate that effort at the fairgrounds here in Louisville. And Tax was second to Tacitus in the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. And he is the only, get a little statistical here inside baseball, but Tax is the only horse who has registered 3 triple-digit BristNet speed ratings. And the speed ratings are a numerical value that tries to tell you how fast the horse ran. Higher the better. He's the only one that's been in the 100 range 3 times in his career. So that kind of consistency at 20-1, I got to take a shot.
Ed, have you ever seen a stretch like we've seen the last 6 years where the favorite has won each of the last 6 years?
No, it's pretty incredible. It's somewhat of an anomaly. We had a stretch from 1980 until 2000 when Fusayachi Pegasus won. So from 80 to 99, 20 consecutive years where the favorite did not win the Derby. And some of those years, the better horse just wasn't favored. They were second or third choice, and the public just got it a little bit wrong. And I think that kind of could be the case here as well. Always Dreaming never won another race after the Derby, or never won another race. The public's getting better about figuring out when these horses are going to peak. So we'll see if they get it right this time, but their challenge just got a lot harder with Omaha Beach scratching.
What is it about this race that still captures the imagination of a lot of the United States?
I think, the traditions that surrounding it, it's obviously so much more than a horse race, with My Old Kentucky Home, the celebration of the colors and the roses, and it's a party as well. So you have the pageantry and the tradition, but you also have just a good old-fashioned good time in the infield at Churchill, wherever you choose to sit. Derby parties have become popular, and the coverage on NBC is a lot of fun, with them showing all the different lifestyle and sports angles. It really is one of those something for everybody experiences, very popular on bucket lists. And until you've experienced it, you really have no idea of how special it is. But even, from Iowa, if you choose to go to Prairie Meadows and enjoy it at another racetrack, it's infectious and there's a definite buzz.
Ed, has the situation at Santa Anita had any effect on the lead up to this year's Kentucky Derby?
I definitely within the sport, and I work for Churchill Downs, so I'm a little more aware and than, fans of what people are talking about. There's definitely been increased awareness of, what's going on at Santa Anita. I definitely don't want to make it like all of a sudden we're concerned about safety, because horse racing is always concerned about safety, not only of the horses, but the riders on the back and everyone around them. So I'm always careful. I don't want it to make it like, oh, this happened at Santa Anita, and now all of a sudden we're trying to figure it out. It's terrible what happened, and I'm proud to be a part of an industry that is concerned, but I'm always clear to say we always have been concerned, and we weep with our colleagues in California when, things don't go as well as they should. All that said, there definitely is a major commitment Derby week and beyond to make sure that when these horses compete and the jockeys are on them, that it's as safe as possible.
Ed, the post draw was yesterday, War of Will drawing the first position. Which horse do you think maybe benefited the most from its draw?
Well, I would have said Omaha Beach. He was the favorite coming into the draw, and the post was great for him. War of Will certainly was the whatever the opposite of beneficiary is. The rail is not the place you want to be. He absolutely has to go now from the rail, which I don't think anyone in his camp thinks is ideal. But it is possible to win on the front end. We saw it with Warren Bloom, and that's what they're going to try to do from the rail. But other than him, I felt like anyone coming into the draw with who had confidence in their horse, shouldn't have left it with any less confidence. I don't think the draw was a big factor other than for War of Will on the rail.
Is there a potential superstar in this group that could make a run at a Triple Crown?
I think this is a competitive enough group that there isn't. That's not to say maybe a horse couldn't string three races together. But as we saw with American Pharoah and Justify, it truly did take a special horse to break the curse. And even though it only happened 3 years later with Justify, he was a superlative animal too. And he broke a curse in his own right, in the Apollo curse, by winning the Derby as an unraced two-year-old. So I don't see any horses at their level here. So I would definitely be inclined to say no on a Triple Crown. But I also think that this could make this series a lot more fun in a different kind of way than we've seen in years past. And maybe we'll have a rivalry develop. We really haven't had a rivalry on the level of like a Sunday Silence or Easy Goer in quite some time in racing. So maybe with this being a competitive group, we'll see a few of these throw down a few times.
Ed DeRosa, we always appreciate the insight this time of year. You mentioned the traditions surrounding the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Do you have any of your own Kentucky? Do you have any of your own traditions?
I do. My colleague and I, a friend of mine that I work with, and one other person who freelances for us for I think we're going on 8 years now. So. Mini tradition at this point, but one we hope continues for a while. We do Waffle House in the morning before the race, about 6 a.m. Get a good base in the stomach of grease and hash browns and hopefully fuel us for what is a long but certainly fun and enjoyable day. So Waffle House gets a nod on the tradition front. And then, you know, I mentioned it in general, but just personally, there's no greater moment in the year barring, you know, family successes and, you know, the joy of children. But from a professional standpoint, being here for my old Kentucky home is unsurpassable.
Ed, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Let's find some winners.
Ed DeRosa, twinspires.com is the website. And tough news for Mike Smith, who was set to be the jockey on Omaha Beach. He had an opportunity to ride the Bob Baffert horses and chose instead to hitch his wagon to Omaha Beach. Omaha Beach scratched from the Kentucky Derby, one of, if not the favorites, in the race this weekend. So breaking news at exactly the right time as we had our horse guy on with us. And now I have been trading texts with WNML's morning show host in Knoxville, Tennessee, Tyler Ryder. And he is extremely happy that he locked his pick in game winner at 7-1 because game winner is now most likely going to be the favorite to win the race this weekend. So you're not going to get game winner at 7-1 right now. I can tell you that much.
No, you will not. Whenever we talk horse racing, I feel like I am obligated to bring up how much we miss our old friend Jay Cronley
is. I don't even know how we stumbled upon Jay Cronley back in the day.
The guy was a legend in everything that he did.
I don't like to play favorites on this. I'm going to play favorites on this. He was probably my favorite guest. That guy had zero blanks to give, and he was just a hoot and tremendous guest, and then we never heard from him again, and we found out that he passed away. It's a really unfortunate situation. And
3530 was the one who found out that he passed away.
3530 will never let us live that down.
Related to us.
I'm told on the text line that Twin Spires is up and legal in the state of Iowa. I really don't know which sites are legal and which ones aren't and how you can get by with this because it's very confusing. But apparently, according to 6553, you can bet on Korean chariot racing. On Twin Spires.
You can bet on Korean chariot racing, but you still can't bet on American sports.
Soon.
Does anybody see the problem? Okay,
soon.
You know what? I'm going to stop complaining.
I believe, as I mentioned yesterday on the program, the date that I have seen is May 27th. Governor Reynolds has until May 27th to fix her signature to the bill that would legalize gambling. And as we touched on yesterday, Catfish Bend in Burlington is the second casino in the state of Iowa to partner with an online sports book or a major sports book to open once gambling is legal in the state. And I don't see these partnerships forming if there isn't a little bit of inside information with them that, hey, there's no snafu here. The governor isn't going to pull a fast one at the last minute.
No, they never pull a fast one. They always pull slow ones. Just drag things out. But yes, I agree.
Sometime this summer, we should legally be able to, well, it's not going to help us for any of the Triple Crown races, and certainly not this weekend with the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. I like the Santa Anita question because that was on my mind as well. This is a sport that's already, much like boxing, seems to be on life support, and yet there are still people who are interested in this, and this ties in. We've got a couple minutes here. I want to get to this because it was on my list of things to touch on in the first hour, and then the Addison Russell conversation completely sucked up all the oxygen, and that's a great thing in this business. But I look at sports like boxing and horse racing and even hockey to a certain extent, and I ask myself, how did I wind up knowing or getting pulled into these sports? And the answer almost universally across the board for me is reading about them in issues of Sports Illustrated when I was a kid.
Right.
And we mentioned yesterday on the show that ESPN, the magazine, is going to be no more as of this September. They're pulling the plug on that. And I came across an article online earlier today at Awful announcing that Sports Illustrated is apparently on life support, that, and I was unaware of this. It's once again up for sale. I think it's been sold two or three times in the last 5 years, but it sounds as if the over-under on Sports Illustrated being around is at about 2 years, that within 2 years, the print edition of Sports Illustrated is going to be no more. It's interesting because I just got a piece of mail about a week and a half ago offering me the discounted rate. They always give you the cover price. It's like $197.99, and you can get an entire year of Sports Illustrated for the low, low price. They offered it to me at $20.
For the year.
For the year, and I turned it down. I was a subscriber for a number of years, and then I had a son, and life gets in the way and the issues just sit there sort of stacked up and I don't get a chance to read them anymore. Or if there's a particularly interesting story, I've already read it online. They went to publishing every other week. So you get an edition every 14 days, and all of a sudden, and I'm a holdout here into a number of things from a previous way of doing things. Alex has joked with me or given me a hard time about doing things like writing checks. And I'm drawing the line at subscribing or resubscribing to Sports Illustrated. Even I didn't see the value in that. Holding the print edition, I get that. I understand that. But at this point, I can't even justify the $20 on it. And at the same time, I don't want to live in a world that doesn't have Sports Illustrated in it, because this was I think back, how many of us in the library in middle school or high school, you would fight for that magazine rack, that the new edition of Sports Illustrated would come out at the beginning of the week and you wanted to get your hands on it.
I remember I always flipped all the way to the back page to read Rick Riley in Sports Illustrated. And I loved it. I loved his writing. And I remember the battle for how much money that ESPN paid him to steal him away to make this dream team with ESPN, the magazine. And now here on May 1st, we're talking about yesterday, ESPN, the magazine going belly up, and now Sports Illustrated going belly up, or possibly going belly up. So it's an interesting time. But if you think about it, magazines right now, especially sports magazines, they just logistically don't make a lot of sense, because you can get all that information instantly. And if these magazines are holding out articles that you can get instantly, and you reread them when you get them, what is it, every Tuesday or Wednesday or every other week, it's pretty much behind by the time that you get it.
the really bad news here is that the magazine's about to be purchased by a holding company called Authentic Brands Group, which is rumored to be in the mix, or actually about the only buyer for Sports Illustrated at this point. And it sounds like once they get a hold of it for the next year or 2 years, however long the magazine is still in existence, it's basically just going to become a vehicle for that holding company to promote all of the other brands that it owns. It's basically going to just be paid advertising with some articles. So you're not going to get that long-form Tom Verducci-esque writing that you've become accustomed to with Sports Illustrated. 319-366-1600. Great conversation with Ed DeRosa. We've got one more guest set to join us on the other side of this break. Joel Booker, former Iowa Hawkeye standout, has been recently promoted to the AAA level by the Chicago White Sox. We'll find out what's going on in Joel's world now that he's just one phone call away from Guaranteed Rate Field. We'll bring you another big board update. Plus, in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, your chance to take home tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Stick with us. More on the way after this.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Swing into the golf season with an annual pass at Amana Colonies Golf Club. Nestled among eastern Iowa's rolling hills, Amana Colonies Golf Club winds its way along 18 championship holes. These spectacular surroundings have led to Amana Colonies Golf Club's consistently high rankings from Golf Digest and Golf Magazine and the title of Top Public Golf Course in Iowa numerous times. Now is your chance to play Amana Colonies Golf Club all season long. Receive unlimited golf, cart, practice balls, and a reciprocal program that now includes 30 different clubs, all for just $1,399. Learn more at amanagolf.com.
KGYM and Smart FM, a perfect combination. Like a perfectly turned double play, a perfectly timed pass, a perfect handoff, a perfect assist, a perfect drive, a perfect shot from beyond the three-point line, the perfect song for your celebration, the perfect band that brings back great memories. Perfect sports coverage on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
May baseball begins at Target Field, a 7-10 game coming up on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. It's Martin Perez for the Twins. Colin McHugh, right-hander, throwing for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And that horse that is entering the race, as we mentioned with Ed DeRosa, is Bodie Express. I got very excited there momentarily.
Bodie? Because David Bodie?
I thought it was as in David Bodie, but it's B-O-D-E, Bodie Express. As he mentioned, the first time ever you'll be able to bet on the number 21 horse in the race. I don't have the current odds in front of me, but they will most likely be long for the stand-in. Bodie Express enters the Kentucky Derby field, as if you're just joining us on the program, the favorite in this weekend's race, Omaha Beach, has been scratched. We'll hear momentarily from Charlotte Knights outfielder Joel Booker. the former Hawkeye standout, set to join us on the program shortly, and a whole lot more. But first, if you're looking to upgrade the look of your house or add new windows, Windows Alexander Lumber is the place to do that. Answers by Alexander, their showroom on South Gilbert in Iowa City. Check it out. They bring you this big board update with our producer, Kyle Mann.
Kirk Ferentz took some time to explore candidates to be Reese Morgan's replacement, but by all accounts, he's found his man in former Northern Illinois and Rutgers defensive coordinator Jay Neiman. He's going to serve as an assistant D-line coach under Kelvin Bell and will also handle defensive player evaluations and recruiting. Jay's the father of former Iowa linebacker Ben and current linebacker Nick. The Iowa baseball team's hosting Western Illinois this evening, making up a postponement caused by weather yesterday. First pitch is set for about a half hour from now, and this is Iowa's last game before it hosts 25th-ranked UC Irvine. Iowa basketball got one step closer to some good news this morning, as it's been reported that Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey has narrowed his list of destinations to only Iowa or Vanderbilt. Harvey was a top 50 recruit with offers from Duke and Villanova just 2 years ago. Some fans have made it a point to note that Harvey played on an AAU team with Luca Garza. Iowa State's Ashley Jones accepted an invite from USA Basketball for a second straight summer. After winning a gold medal in the FIBA Americas Women's Championship with the under-18 squad last year, she'll be running with the under-19 squad this year. And tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
And again, thank you to Answers by Alexander, the showroom on South Gilbert, not too far away from the Alexander Lumber temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City. They'll bring you another big board coming up inside the 6 o'clock hour. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Colonels at home tonight taking on the Bowling Green Hot Rods. They are currently scoreless in the second inning of Game 1 of that doubleheader. 2 7-inning games on tap, and then Bowling Green and Cedar Rapids will finish up that three-game series tomorrow. And then it's no longer Wander Franco mania here in Cedar Rapids. The top prospect in waiting, technically behind guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis, and Eloy Jimenez, who have not exhausted their rookie eligibility, but those guys have made it to the major leagues. And Wander Franco doesn't turn 19 until next season, and he's destroying Midwest League pitching. Can't wait to get out to the ballpark and see him tonight. And you can join us at the ballpark this Friday as the Colonels entertain the Dayton Dragons, the Class A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. It's a Z102.9 mug club night. You can get your first mug of beer at regular price and then use the refillable mug for discounted refills all game long, and bring that mug back on other home Friday games during the season, and you pay the discounted rate from the get-go. You can say hi to all of our friends down the hall from Z102.9. Again, that's Friday. 6:35 first pitch as the Colonels take on Dayton at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We will hear from Joel Booker shortly. NFL over-unders have been updated in Las Vegas post-draft. We'll see whether or not the addition of Daniel Jones does anything for the New York Giants or not. We mentioned, though, the story about the AAF and the latest turn. The original backer of the league was arrested yesterday and charged by the United States Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York, the FBI, and the Internal Revenue Service with committing bank fraud and operating an unlicensed money-transmitting business. Reggie Fowler is this cat's name. He originally had agreed to fund up to $170 million of his own money to use to get the AAF off the ground. And it certainly seems as if that's this league's first big mistake.
Well, yes.
It appears to have climbed into bed with a grifter from the get-go, and that's why in week two the league couldn't make its payroll, and that's why the league is belly up right now. And as we brought you yesterday, the development, the AAF is telling all of these creditors, don't even bother taking us to court. We literally have no money. You're just wasting your money if you take us to court, because there is no money, and there never will be any money. And this sort of explains why. Fowler
didn't have enough money.
Fowler said he was going to put up $170 million. Apparently, he put up $28 million. Then said he was done funding the league. Rutrow, how'd you like to be in those meetings? Hey, we got this league off the ground, and how short are we? A couple thousand? We can make that. No, we're about $140 million short.
Yeah, just think about the two investors now, the two main investors with that league. Now, Reggie Fowler, who was $150 million short of what he said he was going to be, causes the league to miss their payroll in week two. Then they have Tom Dundon coming in, trying to just rescue this league, keep it afloat. Promises them $250 million, but he could pay it over time. He was basically paying the payroll every week. He lost $70 million in 7 weeks, and he said, "Yeah, no, I'm out. We're folding up shop." So, a couple of really, really dedicated investors they had.
Imagine being in a position where you could afford to lose $70 million in 7 weeks, and still function as a human being.
Yeah.
Must be nice. I'm not going to lie. I think I've been pretty open with everybody who listens to this program about dreaming of winning the lottery someday. And I'm not talking about taking home $50 on a scratcher. I want that life-changing. I want to be able to lose $70 million in 7 weeks and be like, okay, well, what's the new ledger say? I still have this much money? I'm good. Let's go to Barbados again. 319-366-1600. If that were ever to happen, I would take more vacation at that point than Stephen A. Smith on ESPN.
You think Stephen A. Smith could lose $70 million?
You make $8 to $10 million a year, and you've got vacation every other day. It seems like, which good on.
Is it vacation or is it just that he screwed up? So they're like, yeah, just take a couple of days off here.
They're all in.
You said
doesn't
Dwayne
matter.
Haskins was a better runner than passer. Just take a couple days off. Everybody will forget about it, and you can go back to screaming at the top of your lungs on your program.
We'll get to Joel Booker, hopefully, of the Charlotte Knights. This is a great story. Joel Booker coming in, joining Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes, and being drafted by the Chicago White Sox, and really not considered a top prospect ever in his rise through the organization. He's been overshadowed by guys like Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, and at every level he just has performed. He was an all-star a couple seasons ago in the Carolina League, and he was leading the Southern League, which is the AA circuit in Birmingham, hitting .351, and so here he is now on the doorstep of playing in the major leagues. Iowa has not had a player in the majors, I think, since Matt Dermody in 2016, is that his last appearance? So it's been a while since a Hawkeye has matriculated to the major leagues. I know they put out a release earlier in the week touting the numbers of some of the former Hawkeyes. Jake Adams is repeating in the Carolina League. I think he's hitting close to .300. Robert Nystrom is doing well in the Orioles organization. Lots of other Hawkeyes that are in the professional ranks are off to very good starts so far this season. So you start to see more of these guys make their way to the major leagues. And that's the imprint that Rick Heller has left on this program. Iowa, as we mentioned, in action tonight against Western Illinois. Fascinating to see. There's a bubble for pretty much every NCAA sport, and right, the Hawkeyes right now are squarely on it because Baseball America has Iowa as one of the first four teams out of the 64-team regional field right now, and D1 baseball has Iowa in at the moment in their most recent projections. So the Hawkeyes, they're not going to benefit much by winning this game tonight. I think Western Illinois' RPI is in the 200s, so they need to win tonight, and they've really got an opportunity to make some hay this weekend as UC Irvine comes to Duane Banks Field. This is a top 25 team. This is a program that never in a million years would have played in Iowa City a decade ago. And Rick Heller's brought Cal State Northridge.
Cal State Northridge.
UC Irvine. Oklahoma State. UNLV was here last season. These West Coast teams that Iowa never would have had on their schedule before are coming. And they're not just playing at Iowa. They're playing other schools in the Midwest because these schools have had a great showing. They've been able to get into the regionals in recent seasons. And Midwest baseball at the college level has really taken a step forward. And then you get the disheartening news that they're not going to pony up and pay a third assistant in baseball and softball. And Rick Heller is going to be on the program with us tomorrow ahead of the UC Irvine series. And that's a topic that I am interested in tackling with him. I know Kendall Rogers, who's been on this show with us before, had a really great detailed breakdown of the voting on this. And there was, I can't remember what conference it was, but there were more coaches for adding the third assistant than there were against it. And yet the conference still voted no on it. And it's not just some of these smaller conferences are voting yes. They're the conferences on these shoestring budgets. And then you've got the Big Ten, which has athletic departments that rake in millions of dollars, and the Big Ten's voting no. It really is. It's tough. I was chatting about this with a friend the other day on Twitter. We were direct messaging back and forth. Somebody who's been on the show a number of times who is a huge fan of college baseball, and we're talking about how the fact that there are basically are three teams in the Big Ten that really give a damn right now about baseball. Nobody else does. Iowa falls into that category.
Iowa, Indiana,
and Michigan.
And Michigan.
And that's about it. Ohio State, Minnesota, Purdue, they're just sort of all along for the ride, and everybody else is, well, other than Wisconsin, which doesn't have a program and hasn't fielded a program since, I think it was 1990, 1994, something like that. It's been a long time since the Badgers have had a Big Ten baseball program. But we will have Rick on the program with us tomorrow and looking forward to getting caught up with him prior to a big series against UC Irvine, number 25 UC Irvine coming to Iowa City. Joining us now on the program, as promised, we've caught up with him. I think we've touched base, Joel, with you every step of the way along your rise through the Chicago White Sox system. A former Hawkeye, Joel Booker, is with us now, a member of the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Congratulations on the promotion, Joel. How's your first taste of AAA gone?
It's pretty sweet, to be honest with you. It's definitely a step up from AA, but I think I'll just perfectly fine, especially with the hitting coach that they have here. We've been working on some good stuff that I had also worked on in the offseason. So I'm pretty excited to see what's next.
You had two hits today. You guys got the big win. How have you been able to adjust at every level to the increase in competition the way that you have?
To be honest with you, just struggling and learning from the struggle. Like my first half season in AA, they were throwing me a lot of off speed and they were burying it in the dirt. And this year went back there and kind of had an idea that that's what they were going to do and started laying off that pitch. And then so now the attack's different. They're trying to get you out on elevated fastballs. But one thing that has helped me a little bit is knowing that the zone up here is a lot smaller. So just being more selective and when I get my pitch, not missing it.
How close is Charlotte to where you grew up?
It is an hour and a half.
So that's got to be nice for you. You probably have a lot of friends and family that get to see you play more.
Oh, for sure. I've already had tons of family and friends come out to just my first few games.
How has your game grown since college, since you were at Iowa?
I would say at Iowa, I was a very hard swinger. I was trying to hit home runs every pitch, but now it's more so just hitting line drives and just taking what they're giving me. And having the green light up here has kind of helped me a lot. So my mentality on the base pass is almost every time I get on is just to get to second base. So I've been more aggressive on the base pass and everything.
You started last year at Winston-Salem, got promoted to Birmingham about halfway through. How'd you take the news at spring training this year that you were going to start back at Birmingham to begin the season?
I took it like with every other news. You take it with a grain of salt because things can change at the drop of a hat. And I was just excited that I was getting to go back and to prove myself again, especially with starting off hot and then ending the year kind of on a down note. Just going back and showing that I have made strides and improvement to my game.
I want to go back to when you were drafted in 2016. It was sort of around the time when the organization went into the rebuild and all these young, talented prospects, especially in the outfield, were popping up in the White Sox organization. It would have been real easy for the White Sox to bury you, not give you a look. What was it like trying to get the attention of an organization with so many talented players in it?
To be honest with you, I don't really think about that stuff. I know what I can do. I know what my ability, and I know what I bring to the table. So I just go out every day and just try to play the best brand of baseball that I can and contribute a lot to playing for Heller and what he bestowed in me and playing hard, running hard 90s and giving it everything you got. So pretty much did that kind of set the door and set the dinner table for how I should play the game, and it's helped me tremendously.
Former Hawkeye outfielder Joel Booker with us, now a member of the AAA Charlotte Knights. You mentioned working with the hitting coach there in Charlotte, former big leaguer Frank Menachino. He's been a hitting coach in the big leagues. I think he was with the Marlins for a number of years. What's he working with on your game right now? What's he trying to improve?
He's very big on getting in my back hip when I load. And one thing that I've been kind of bad at is whenever I stride, I lose my backside, and I'm very front foot heavy oriented when I hit. So he's been just getting me into my hip, my back hip, and rotating more and staying through the middle of the baseball field.
How has it been lifestyle-wise now that you're in AA, now AAA, the upper levels of the minor leagues, as opposed to being riding buses in the lower levels? What's that difference like?
To be honest with you, I haven't experienced it yet, but I'll get to experience it tomorrow because we have a bus there. But everyone that I've talked to says it's a lot different. They say instead of taking one bus, we take two, and you get to kind of pick which bus you want to take. And then depending on certain places, like I know we go to Indiana, and we fly there, so it'll be kind of like back in the college days when we fly the ships and then bus sometimes, you know.
Joel, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program today. Do you still keep up with the Hawkeyes?
Oh, for sure. I see that they're doing great things in the Big Ten right now and knocking off a bunch of top-ranked teams. So, I always got to root for my Hawks and go Hawks.
All right, Joel Booker joining us from AAA Charlotte, where he has been with the Knights the last couple days. We appreciate the time, Joel. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And as he mentioned, he's going to get a taste of that AAA travel. They head to Norfolk tomorrow to open a series with the Tides. And then also, it looks like it's off to Louisville and Columbus.
Doing a little construction.
Maybe at the shooting range. Couldn't quite tell. Initially, I thought maybe it was the batting cage, but they were sounding a little too close together to be at the batting cage. That's a really interesting coaching staff that he's got now at Charlotte, managed by a longtime major leaguer Mark Grudziolanek, a former Chicago Cub infielder, among other teams.
St. Louis Cardinals, yeah.
Played for the Royals. I don't remember Mark Grudziolanek with the Cardinals.
Yeah, pretty good stay in St. Louis.
Did he?
He was pretty good, yes. Right after Fernando Vina, I believe.
Frank Menachino is the hitting coach, and Steve McCaddy, longtime member of the Oakland Athletics rotate. He was with them in the early 80s when they had guys like Mike Norris and Matt Keough is the pitching coach there. So Charlotte, if you're interested in making a road trip to check out Joel Booker in action, I think the closest that the International League comes to Eastern Iowa is Indianapolis, which is currently the Pirates AAA affiliate, and where Mitch Keller is still cooling his heels in AAA, awaiting his first call to the big leagues with Pittsburgh. 5:47, we've got an opportunity coming up for you inside the 6 o'clock hour. It's the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Answer more than your opponent, and you're going to be off to Veterans Memorial Stadium, not for a Colonels game, but for a hairball concert. Coming up this July, tickets on sale now at Colonels.com. We'll let you know how the Colonels are doing in Game 1 of that doubleheader with Bowling Green when we return. Plus, NFL over-unders have been updated by the casinos in Las Vegas post-draft. Did the draft have much of an effect on your favorite team's odds? We'll get into that when we return after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
This Mother's Day, don't try to pull the wool over mom's eyes with a last-minute gift. Get ahead of the rush with 1-800-Flowers and their truly thoughtful bouquets. Don't settle for anything less than the biggest and brightest bouquets from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers has an exclusive 30 for 30 offer. 30 assorted tulips for just $30. With a bright and beautiful mix of orange, yellow, and pink blooms, these assorted tulips are guaranteed to make her smile. Assorted tulips are the perfect way to surprise all of the moms in your life. Wife, sister, grandma. Tulips from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak from premier farms and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 30 assorted tulips for only $30 is an amazing offer, but you have to hurry because it expires Wednesday. To order 30 stunning assorted tulips for only $30, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right. On time and on budget, Lowe's is here to help by stocking the brands you trust to power through any job, like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT. Same tools, same warranty, new name. Plus, for 3 days only, save an additional 5% just by using your Lowe's business credit account. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Credit offer valid 4/30 through 5/2. Subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusion apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
5:51, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, where we were earlier today for our first Lunchbox Heroes stop of the season. You can get details on Lunchbox Heroes at our website, kgymradio.com. A big thank you to Built by Pros, our presenting sponsor. Today's stop, the UI Pharmacy Building under construction, just a stone's throw away from my old home. For 2 years at the University of Iowa Hillcrest Residence Hall. Found out that our Scott Unash was a fellow Hillcrest resident there. I think there was a little bit of space in between Scott's stay there and my stay. We will be out and about again next week. Scott and Mark will take their solo turn on Lunchbox Heroes. 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home for Minnesota Twins baseball all summer long here. Twins and Astros continuing their series tonight. At 7 o'clock, we'll take you there to Target Field. Mentioned the NFL win totals in Las Vegas that have been updated. Over-under win totals post NFL draft. Very little movement here for a number of teams. Yeah. But I got to like the Chicago Bears at 9 wins. I would jump on, if were it legal in the state of Iowa right now. This is for entertainment purposes only until Governor Reynolds signs that bill. But the Bears at 9 wins.
Over.
Cody Parkey's gone. David Montgomery, a.k.a. Chuck Bruce, is in town. Let's see, Iowa State fans with the custom Chuck Bruce Bears jerseys already. Over 9 for the Bears seems like, I don't want to call it easy money right now. Green Bay, I'd go under 9 on the Packers.
So the Bears and the Packers have the same win total.
Yeah. Well, the idea here is not to be accurate. The idea is to separate fools from their money as easily as possible.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like what they're doing.
Green Bay is what is known in gambling circles as a public team. It means a lot of people look at Green Bay. They think they know the Packers. They feel confident in the Packers because Aaron Rodgers. Dallas is a public team. You can get a lot of money from Dallas fans. They're at 9 wins right now. The Denver Broncos is an interesting one. 7 wins. Over under 7 wins. Joe Flacco coming in at quarterback. Noah Fant added to the offense. I might be tempted to give them a crack at winning 8. I may take
the
over there.
Right on the dot. That sounds like Joe Flacco is the Jeff Fisher of quarterbacks. 7-9.
Kansas City right now is at 10.5. And the under has a little more juice on it. You got to lay down $1.20 to win a dollar. That is interesting to me because we really don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill. And it's a talented team, even without him. But he's such a dynamic playmaker that if they were to part ways with him, I think I would. I know which way I would lean on.
Definitely
the,
not touching that one right
on
now.
The 10.5.
If betting was legal, I'm not touching that win total.
How about Josh Rosen's new team, the Miami Dolphins? 5 over under 5. What'd they win last year?
I think they won 5 last year.
Okay, so holding the line, the status quo, the Dolphins, Minnesota. And Detroit, for those asking the NFC North teams, Minnesota is at 9 wins.
Oh, they won 7, sorry.
Minnesota, so they've taken a step back this year, according to the Vegas odds makers. Minnesota is a 9-win team as well. And Detroit is currently sitting at 6.5 wins, over under 6.5 wins for Matt Patricia, TJ Hockenson, and the Lions. I'd feel pretty confident taking the under there. Give Detroit 6 wins, split the rest of the victories up among the other teams in the NFC North. Vikings are about right. I'd take the over on the Bears, I'd take the under on Green Bay, and I would take under 6.5 on Detroit if you really put me to it today. And Washington, 6.5. The Redskins, one of those teams that feels they've got their quarterback of the future. So much focus has been on the New York Giants and taking Daniel Jones. Dave Gettleman has a team that is sitting at 6 wins in Las Vegas right now, over under 6 wins.
Under.
I think they're going to be looking at another top pick next season. Now, the team that a lot of people feel will have that top selection next year, a lot of folks think the Dolphins are going to be right back in the catbird seat. As we mentioned, they're at 5 wins as well. Anybody else they haven't touched on here? Dallas, I think I mentioned, at 9 wins. Arizona is at 5. Hakeem Butler's new destination for Iowa State fans out there that may be interested in him. I know we've got some Colts fans in Eastern Iowa. 9.5 wins for the Colts. Might be tempted to go under on that.
People are really high on them. And Andrew Luck was outstanding last year. I think they build on it. I'm going to go over. I'll say they win 10.
Team with the highest total on the board, no surprise here, the New England Patriots at 11. And
under.
Under. You're actually, the odds here are really good for you if you wanted to make that wager right now because it's paying out plus 120. So you wager a dollar, you get a dollar 20 back. A lot of people thinking the Patriots are going to go over 11. Some of the chic selections here, the CBS sports staff, the Chargers over 9.5 and the Ravens under 8.5 getting a lot of love out there. And also a couple of their writers saying Seattle over 8.5. Not sure I see that with the Seahawks just yet. We'll need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll set the table for what's to come inside hour number three of the program, including your chance to take home tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll tell you how you can win after this.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
5:58, welcome back in. A short segment before we turn our attention to the third and final hour tonight. And some NBA discussion on tap. The Houston Rockets with their backs against the wall. Boston completely fell apart against Giannis and the Bucks. And a whole lot of ground to cover. But we'll kick off the 6 o'clock hour tonight with the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. It's your chance to take home tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels currently trailing in Game 1 as they take on the Bowling Green Hot Rods tonight. That is a doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. Game 1 started at 5 o'clock, so you've still got an opportunity to get over to the stadium and see one of the next big things in Major League Baseball, Wander Franco.
I just saw on Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation's Twitter that he drove in an RBI single just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
So
Rob made the trip up from Iowa City to see Wander. We'll have, speaking of Iowa City, another Alexander Lumber big board update for you inside the 6 o'clock hour as well with our producer Kyle Mann. It all kicks off next with the 6 o'clock showdown. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Omaha Beach will not run in Saturday's Kentucky Derby. Installed as the favorite in the race at 4-1, the 3-year-old will be scratched with an entrapped epiglottis, which can cause breathing problems. ESPN's Tim McMahon reports James Harden's eyes should be fine for Game 3 Saturday against the Warriors. Harden took an inadvertent hit from Draymond Green, causing bruises in both eyes and a lacerated eyelid. The NBA rescinds the technical fouls against Green and Nene. That from ESPN's Brian Windhorst. The game officials weren't under the gun in Game 2 as they were in Game 1, but ESPN's Stan Van Gundy believes he knows why the refs are more vulnerable now.
People have taken some liberties with some of the less experienced officials, and then it's just sort of escalated. And the stakes are high, especially when we get to this time of the year.
Stan Van Gundy on Golic and Wingo. Tonight, Game 2 for the Nuggets and Trailblazers, with Denver leading 1-0. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Timberwolves have hired Gerson Rosas as the team's new president of basketball ops. Rosas worked for the Rockets for 18 years and was briefly GM of the Mavericks. Mets second baseman Robinson Cano will be back tonight against the Reds after missing 2 games with a left hand injury. Baseball finals today, the Pirates beat the Rangers 7-5. Brian Reynolds with a 3-run double. First of a doubleheader in Kansas City, the Royals beat the Rays 3-2. The Red Sox beat the A's 7-3, sweeping a 3-game series in Boston.
The Cubs and Cardinals. The next chapter in the rivalry begins this weekend. Coverage begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
After a thrilling...
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 2 5-1/4 ounce bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with 2 bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After a thrilling, exciting win on Monday night to open up this four-game series, Twins and the Astros got the game in, and Mother Nature, there was a chance it would not happen. There was a lot of rain throughout the metro on Tuesday, but the skies did clear. It was cold as the Twins and the Astros met in Game 2 of this four-game series. Michael Pineda for the Twins and Gerrit Cole going for the Astros. Twins had a chance early, and that was about the only chance they had all night long against Gerrit Cole. Twins had 2 on, nobody out, back-to-back walks to Kepler and Polanco to begin the night. Then Nelson Cruz, on a 3-2 count, hit the hardest ball any Twin has all year. The problem, though, it was a double play. 6-4-3 and a great turn by Carlos Correa. And after that, Gerrit Cole, the Twins did nothing against him pretty much all night long. As for Pineda, a lot of hard contact. He gave up 1 run in the third. He gave up 2 more in the fifth inning, and then began the sixth. Pitch count was getting around 90 despite the hard contact. He went back out to begin the sixth. He gave up a leadoff single to Robinson Chirinos, and then Jake Marisnik added on.
And the 0-2 on the way. Hit high in the air, left field on an 0-2 pitch, and this might have home run distance. It does. Marisnik with a 2-run homer, and the Astros now lead 5-0.
Turned out to be a 4-run sixth inning. The Astros scored 4 more in the eighth off Adalberto Mejia, and this one was a blowout. Twins allow more runs and more hits in the game than they had in any one game this season. Final score, Astros 11 and the Twins nothing. Houston with 15 hits, Twins only with 3. Gerrit Cole, a no-hitter until a Max Kepler double in the sixth inning. But Cole was great. He struck out 11 in 7 shutout, allowed just the 1 hit. And a rough night for the Twins pitching staff and certainly the bats. They were shut down by Cole and company in Game 2. All in all, though, as we move now to the month of May, the Twins still in sitting in very good position, 17-10, as we move on to May baseball. And we will have a game, Game 3 of the series at 7:10 on Wednesday night with Martin Perez on the mound for the Twins. But the final from Tuesday, Astros 11, Twins nothing. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. It's simple. You choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. The best part? It's all free. Our tools even come with operating instructions, so you'll know exactly how to use them. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Menards has the automotive products you need and the saving you want because nobody beats our prices. Keep your engine running smoothly with Shell. Rotella Heavy Duty Motor Oil provides triple protection to control wear, deposits, and emissions. It's great for new or old engines. And right now, a gallon of Shell Rotella Heavy Duty Motor Oil is just $12.79. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day. Stop in and save through May 5th during the Menards Spring Catalog Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
6:05, welcome in. It is the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 3 frequencies, 1600 AM. Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio throughout the day and great local programming like this show. Also, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Make sure you swing by our website, kgymradio.com. You can check out the upcoming schedule of all the events we'll have on the airwaves for you throughout the weekend, including the Kentucky Derby. If you're just joining the program, about an hour ago, it was announced that the favorite in this weekend's race, Omaha Beach, has been scratched. So a new favorite is most likely going to be Game Winner, which is Tyler Riders. Preferred horse. Tyler, who debuted his new morning show on WNML in Knoxville earlier today with his new co-host, and we noticed on the drive to Iowa City earlier today that, again, mini segments bear striking similarities to things that were done here on this program in Eastern Iowa when Tyler was here.
Except some of them have been renamed now. which is good.
Some of them. Some of them have the exact same name.
A couple,
but I'm
yeah.
thinking of We Return the Favor because he has a producer who has a segment called, I believe it was Kaner's Corner. And now I'm thinking about Kyle's Corner.
Ah,
and
there you go.
Seeing whether
Game of Thrones updates
how does
every
it,
day.
How's the shoe fit now that it's on the other foot, my friend?
Kyle's Corner.
319-366-1600. By the way, poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com is related to CeCe Sabathia, who picked up his 3,000th career strikeout last night. Only 16 other pitchers in Major League Baseball history have collected 3,000 or more strikeouts. 14 of the 16 are in the Hall of Fame. Only Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling are not in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure Schilling will ever get in. Clemens, I think, someday, along with Barry Bonds, will get into the Hall of Fame. But it's impressive company, to say the least, and he's number three among left-handed pitchers with 3,000 strikeouts. He'll never catch numbers one and two. Randy Johnson and Steve Carlton both have over 4,000 strikeouts apiece, but is CeCe Sabathia a first ballot Hall of Famer? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. You can make the case that he is. He does not have 300 wins. He's sitting at 247 right now. His ERA is, a career ERA is 3.69, which is solid, especially for the era that he pitched in. According to CBS, if you adjust it for the era and the ballpark that he pitches in, has pitched in throughout his career, it's 17% better than league average.
I think he'll probably be a Hall of Famer. I'm just wondering whether he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer or not. I think of him as a great pitcher and a Hall of Famer, but not one of those guys where he was so dominant for so long that he's just a shoe-in first ballot guy.
It's interesting that you put it that way because CBS has made the case for CeCe Sabathia's Hall of Fame credentials here, and they've sort of broken his career down into pieces. And when he was at his very best during a six-year span between 2006 and 2012, he had 122 wins, which in that span, only Justin Verlander had more than him. He was first in innings pitched. The guy's a workhorse,
right?
Has been throughout his career.
19 years in Major League Baseball.
In that six-year window, he led the league in strikeouts with 1,453. His 3.14 ERA was fourth. His ERA plus of 140 is tied for first with Roy Halladay. ERA plus is hard to explain to people who aren't huge baseball fans. Needless to say, 100, I believe, is the baseline there, so 140 is very good. And his 38.4 wins above replacement is second only in 2006 to 2012 behind Roy Halladay.
Yeah, he was really
going in the Hall of Fame.
He was really dominant during that stretch of his career. So that would have been late in his career at Cleveland, then when he got traded to Milwaukee for that one stretch, and then his first couple of years in New York, right?
Yes. The comparison here CBS is making is to Mike Mussina, who just got into the Hall of Fame recently. Mussina had 270 career wins. Sabathia is sitting at 247 right now, so he'll at least most likely cross the 250 threshold this year. And Mussina pitched about 80 more innings at the moment than Sabathia. Their ERA is almost identical. Mussina's was 3.68 and Sabathia's is 3.69. Their ERA plus is within 5 points, and Sabathia's got Mussina in the strikeout category by about 180 and counting. Wins above replacement, which I understand is a benchmark for a number of people nowadays, that's where it gets a little sticky because Mussina has 82.8 career, a WAR of 82.8 for his career, and Sabathia is at 62.5. So there's about 20 wins separating them over the course of their career. Mussina pitched for a really long time as well. It's kind of a fun debate if you're a baseball fan. But 3,000 strikeouts is still 3,000 strikeouts, a pretty impressive benchmark. and one that was crossed by Sabathia last night for the Yankees. 3-6-6-1600, the Yankees, who are powered by Luke Voit. I can't get enough of this. Look, Luke Voit went from being a guy that I had heard of to...
Kind of, through the grapevine, right?
Right. Oh, I remember him. Yeah, he played in Peoria a while ago. Oh, you went to kindergarten with him. Wow, cool. To, hey, this guy's going to be in the major leagues. And then we had him on the show when he was still a member of the Cardinals.
And it was like, okay, he's a 4A guy.
He's in the big leagues right now. And when you're in this market, you take whatever connection you can get to a guest. And so, hey, Luke's coming on the program. It's awesome. And then he gets traded from the Cardinals to the preeminent franchise in Major League Baseball history with 27 World Series rings and counting. And he becomes this sort of folk hero of Shane Spencer-esque levels in New York. And he comes back this year and he's doing it again. He's not a one-hit wonder. He's Luke Voit, Alex's kindergarten buddy. And I'm here for it. I can't get enough of him. I've got him on my fantasy teams. Tearing the cover off the ball with the Yankees.
He had a great week. Home run today.
He's in the lineup this week. I had him benched last week because, of course, I did. Right now, we need two contestants for the 6 o'clock showdown. We promised you an opportunity to take home tickets to see Hairball. Hairball is coming to Veterans Memorial Stadium, the home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, July 6th. It's a Saturday night, I believe. The Colonels are on the road. Hairball's keeping rock and roll alive with it's not a cover band. It's a tribute to tremendous 80s rock groups. You know all the songs. The fans take the shows very seriously. They come dressed up. Everybody that has gone to see Hairball that I know of has had a really good time. You're going to have to win these, though, and you're going to have to work for them. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Alex and I will get our contestants next. We need two callers, 319-366-1600. Two callers. Kyle's got one on the line. We still need a second contestant, 366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we'll see who we can hook up with tickets to see Hairball in July at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Caller number two, we're still looking for you, 319-366-1600. Back after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years, with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
May baseball begins at Target Field, a 7-10 game coming up on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. It's Martin Perez for the Twins. Colin McHugh, right-hander, throwing for the Astros. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And 617, we welcome you back into the North Gym, 107.5 FM, also 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 1600 AM. Lots of baseball underway. The White Sox and Orioles playing a doubleheader on the south side of Chicago today. That game is tied at 4 apiece in the top of the 8th inning, Game 1. The Cubs have a 6-0 lead at Seattle, and the Cardinals jumping out to a 3-0 lead against Washington just in the top of the first inning. So lots of action underway. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on before the Twins first pitch tonight on 107.5 FM, as you heard. They're taking on the Houston Astros at Target Field. Let's meet our contestants, though, for the 6 o'clock showdown. One of these two gentlemen will come away with tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium later on this summer. Joe in Cedar Rapids is going to be answering my questions, and Jonathan in Coralville is hooked up with Alex. Joe, hang tight. We're going to allow Alex and Jonathan the opportunity to choose whether they'd like to go first or second.
I will leave it up to Jonathan. What do you think, Jonathan?
I'll go first.
All right. So we will lead off here.
Yep. Joe, remain silent. Alex, I'll let you explain things to Jonathan, and then we'll take off here.
All right, Jonathan, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer initially, just say pass. We can come back to it if time allows. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. What ISU standout is projected to be a late first-round pick in June's NBA draft? The Colonels are playing a team affiliated with this AL East team tonight.
Orioles.
Kentucky Derby favorite Omaha Beach is in the news today. Why?
Pass.
The Cubs have announced that this shortstop will remain in AAA when he's eligible to be reinstated this week.
Addison Russell.
This team gave up a 22-2 run last night in its NBA playoff loss.
The 76ers.
Jay Neiman is reportedly joining the Iowa coaching staff. How many of his sons have played for the Hawks?
3.
What team traded for Josh Rosen?
The Dolphins.
All right, so that's 2.
That is 2. Okay, hang tight. Jonathan, because 2 has won before. Joe, are you ready?
I'm ready, Todd. Let's go.
All right. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. How many combined players from Iowa and Iowa State were picked in last week's NFL draft?
6.
That's correct. What NFL analyst will replace Jason Witten in the booth as a color commentator on Monday Night Football this season?
Pass.
Sean Miller allegedly paid which number one overall draft pick $10,000 a month while he was at Arizona?
Pass.
What AL East pitcher collected his 3,000th strikeout last night?
CC Sabathia.
Who's the betting favorite to be the 2020 number one overall pick in the NFL draft?
Tua Tagovailoa.
That is correct. Which National League team came into the day with the most wins in Major League Baseball with 20?
The Brewers.
Nope. True or false, neither Iowa or Iowa State were included in Dennis Dodd's post-spring football top 25. True or false?
False.
That is correct, and that is a 4-2 margin tonight. So, Jonathan, thank you for playing. But, Joe, you're our big winner tonight. You're off to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium in July. We're going to put you on hold, and Kyle is going to tell you how you're going to get those tickets.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, thank you, Joe. We appreciate both of you guys listening in. Booger McFarland.
Boog.
Without the
Booger Mobile is gone.
Without the Booger Mobile. He is very polarizing. I didn't realize people disliked him as much.
He's not a real likable person. He kind of is intentionally that way.
You think he's a intentional troll?
Yes.
Okay. I've Absolutely. Always enjoyed him when I've heard him on the radio. Admittedly,
I don't mind some of his analysis, but he kind of has that early onset yelling at cloud type mentality.
So
to
he's
him.
He's got an old man's mentality in a young man's body. How old is Booger? He can't be that old.
Is he 40?
Oh, this is going to be. Is Booger McFarland older or younger than Todd? 366-1600. This could be America's fastest growing game show.
He's 41.
He's slightly
he's older than you.
Slightly older than I am. DeAndre Ayton This, I don't know how Sean Miller survives this. As a matter of fact, we can get to this a little bit more coming up after we run down these, but The Athletic has a really in-depth piece on Sean Miller's involvement with paying DeAndre Ayton at Arizona. The Dodgers have the most wins in Major League Baseball with 20, and he got the last one right, Iowa and Iowa State, both in Dennis Dodd's post-spring football top 25.
All right, the Iowa State standout that is expected to be a late first-round pick in June's draft, that would be Talen Horton Tucker. The Colonels are playing the Bowling Green Hot Rods tonight. They are affiliated with the first-place Tampa Bay Rays. Omaha Beach is in the news today. In fact, that was breaking news as of, an hour or two ago. He has been, that horse has been scratched from the Kentucky Derby, which is interesting because Omaha Beach was the favorite, the betting favorite, according to odds makers. He got the one about Addison Russell. The Boston Celtics gave up a 22-2 run last night in their loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. And Jay Neiman, who's reportedly joining the Iowa football coaching staff, has had two sons play for the Hawks. That would be Ben and Nick.
Really important here on the Jay Neiman story. The university has not confirmed this, but Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com was the first to put this out there yesterday, and Mark Morehouse and Chad Lystico have both confirmed this. So it seems to be just a matter of crossing T's and dotting I's. Jay Neiman is going to be Iowa's 10th football coach. This is fascinating to me. This will be his third job in about 6 months. He was, for all intents and purposes, fired by Chris Ash at Rutgers as the defensive coordinator. The politically correct term is he was not retained. So then he signs on with the Hatter in Kansas. He's going to be an analyst for Les Miles, which is an off-the-field role. And then Craig Bohl comes calling at Wyoming and says, hey, come be my linebackers coach. So he leaves Kansas after taking the job with Les Miles as an analyst. He's the linebackers coach at Wyoming through spring football for Wyoming, and now gets an opportunity to quote-unquote come home to the University of Iowa. And he went to Iowa State, but his two sons have played football at Iowa. One is in the NFL with the Chiefs. The other one is currently a fullback on the roster. A pretty good pickup. You're not going to replace Reese Morgan, but this is a guy who's got a lot of deep ties to coaches in the state of Iowa. When he was the defensive coordinator at NIU, they played Iowa twice. He recruited the state of Iowa pretty hard for Northern Illinois. So he knows what he's doing here in the Hawkeye State, and Iowa will make this hire official at some point in time.
Hopefully he didn't unpack at any of the places that he has stopped over the past 3 months.
It's so tough.
Traveled more than I have.
Okay, let's follow here. You lose your job as a defensive coordinator to Big Ten school. You get offered an analyst's role at Kansas.
Yes.
It's not an on-the-field position. So you have a job. You land on your feet. Then you get offered a coaching position. Granted, it's not at a Power 5 school, but you're on the field, you're coaching. That's better than being an analyst.
Yes, it
is. So, Les Miles, thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to go to Wyoming. Laramie, correct, is
correct.
Where the University of Wyoming
correct.
Is. And then you get an opportunity from a Power 5 school to have an on-field role. And, oh, by the way, you get to coach A.J. Epenesa for a year. See ya. Like you said, I hope he had the two men in a truck phone number still programmed into his phone or kept a U-Haul on retainer or something. But Jay Neiman reportedly heading home to Iowa and will be announced shortly by the school. 366-1600, 626. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. We'll find out how the Cedar Rapids Colonels are doing in game one of their doubleheader against super prospect Wander Franco and the Bowling Green Hot Rods, plus that Arizona story from The Athletic. We'll get into that after this. Sean Miller could be in some really hot water. Back with more.
If we build it, They will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
627, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for another 25 minutes or so. Twins baseball on the way tonight. In studio tomorrow. No KGYM road trip. Driven by Linder Tire.
Correct.
And LinderTire.com. We'll be back on the road with Linder Tire next week at Mulligan's Pub. Details coming on that shortly. Right now, we welcome our producer back into... Would you welcome Kyle's Corner if we carved you out like 5 minutes every day on the program just to upset Tyler in Tennessee that we're stealing something that he did as opposed to the other way around?
Yeah, I think we can make it work.
Or Coon's Corner. Give both of you guys corners.
We can just save
There's
it.
There's four in the room.
We
got four corners.
We got four corners. We've given two of them away, and after today, I think Corey, who we met at Lunchbox Heroes, maybe he fills the third corner. Then it's just me. Hey, you have to have the alliteration working for you.
The imaging just writes itself, Todd.
It does. Speaking of imaging, we'll paint the picture here. You're looking to build a deck this summer. You need materials to build said deck. Where are you going to find them? Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. They've got a temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive. They can hook you up with everything you need to build that deck that's going to make your summer fantastic. Alexander Lumber presents this Big Board Update with Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz took some time to explore candidates to be Reese Morgan's replacement, but by all accounts, he's found his man in former Northern Illinois and Rutgers defensive coordinator Jay Neiman. He will serve as an assistant D-line coach under Kelvin Bell and will also handle defensive player evaluations and recruiting. Jay is the father of former Iowa linebacker Ben and current linebacker Nick. The Iowa baseball team is hosting Western Illinois this evening, making up a postponement caused by weather yesterday. This is Iowa's last game before it hosts 25th-ranked UC Irvine, so they'd love to go in hot. And they're already not doing that, trailing 1-0 already in the first inning. Iowa basketball got one step closer to some good news this morning. As it's been reported, Notre Dame transfer DJ Harvey's narrowed his list of destinations to only Iowa or Vanderbilt. Harvey was a top 50 recruit with offers from Duke and Villanova just 2 years ago, and some fans have made it a point to note that Harvey played on an AAU team with Luca Garza. Iowa State's Ashley Jones accepted an invite from USA Basketball for a second straight summer. After winning a gold medal in the FIBA Americas Women's Championship with the under-18 squad last year, she'll be running with the under-19 squad this year. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins and Astros on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Colonels and Bowling Green in Game 1 of that doubleheader tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Hot Rods, Bowling Green, Kentucky, the home of the Corvette Museum.
That's where they get
the Hot Rods
Russell Athletic
moniker from.
Western Kentucky University.
Bowling Green is leading 3-2 in the top of the fifth inning. That is a seven-inning game. And then about 20 minutes after Game 1, they will get Game 2 in tonight. Wander Franco, one of the top prospects in baseball, a surefire future star, possible Hall of Famer. I can't say enough about this kid, and I have yet to even see him in person, but I've followed his career, if you can call it that, career for the last two seasons. I've got him on two of my fantasy teams already. I am that big of a creep and a loser. I cannot wait to go creep on him in real life tonight. Wander Franco is going to be a big deal in Major League Baseball, and he's here tonight and tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The story with Sean Miller at Arizona, though, I want to touch on this before we get to our last break here. Dana O'Neill had a piece published at The Athletic about 3 hours ago. I'm just going to read you the first paragraph here. It tells you everything that you need to know about this story. Book Richardson was ticked. Ticked at Sean Miller, his boss. Ticked because Sean Miller's insistence on paying DeAndre Ayton $10,000 per month was interfering with Richardson's ability to cut a side deal with Ayton. So said Richardson, at least on a recording played in a New York federal court on Wednesday. Sean Miller's still coaching Arizona.
So he wanted to do a side deal with DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah.
He wanted to give him more money?
He wanted to... I think this is where the shoe companies come in, right?
So he's profiting off the shoe companies, and he's sending these guys to shoe companies, so he's the rogue assistant. Basically, Sean Miller paying DeAndre Ayton is interfering with all of the shady underbelly stuff that's going on with Book Richardson and the shoe companies.
So it warrants asking, is this enough, Arizona? Is this enough to merit at least a suspension for Sean Miller? Book Richardson, after all, is not some shadowy figure, as people have painted agent Christian Dawkins and runner TJ Gasnola to be. He's a former employee of the University of Arizona who was an actual employee of the University of Arizona when he lamented of Miller's roadblock. So is this enough, or is the university's moral compass so broken it can't see its way to sanity? The third paragraph is the last one I'm going to read, but this really drives home the point that this is more than an Arizona story. Ordinarily, we wouldn't have to ponder such things. Ordinarily, this would be enough to send administrators in the ivory towers of the University of Arizona into a tailspin. These, of course, have proven to be abnormal times. Kansas, victimized by Adidas, recently re-upped with its abuser to the tune of $196 million. LSU temporarily benched coach Will Wade, but has since reinstated him after Wade met with his bosses to offer some version of an explanation of the, quote, strong-ass offer he made to Juvante Smart. No doubt it was extra study hall time allowed. This story continues to smolder. It's not being extinguished anytime soon.
This is so bad for the NCAA, right? I mean, does the general public care if players are getting paid? Do fans of teams care if players are getting paid as long as they're winning? Do coaches care if players are getting paid? Well, obviously not, because some of them are paying the players themselves. So the only entity right now, by and large, that cares is the NCAA. And clearly these schools don't care about the NCAA because they're bringing back the coaches that have been caught on wiretap confessing to paying players.
Does this not sort of tie in very loosely with what we talked about at the top of the show tonight with Addison Russell and, to a lesser extent, or maybe a greater extent, Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs?
A little bit, but I do want to separate.
Fans don't care that schools are paying players.
I do want to separate not caring about paying players from not caring about a domestic abuser being on a team. I think those are two completely different things, but by and large, the idea that fans don't care as long as they're winning is universally true, no matter what the transgression is.
319-366-1600. Join us again tomorrow, where we'll have another opportunity for you to win tickets to see Hairball. We will do Woodja, and we'll have some other great guests for you in store as well. Plus, I'm sure we'll revisit some more of the topics of the day. 366-1600. We'll take our final timeout, and when we return, we will wrap up tonight's program with some NBA playoff discussion. Is this the end for the Houston Rockets? It sure looked like it after last night. And what's up with the Celtics giving up a 22-2 run in their loss to the Bucks? Back with more after this.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active Gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Wedding season is upon us, and the easiest way to look fresh for the big day is with theblacktux.com. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos that you rent online. With their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering, it will arrive 14 days before your event. Stand out for the right reasons with the Black Tux. For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com and enter code SPAIN. That's theblacktux.com, code SPAIN.
Hi, I'm Katie Nolan, host of Sports with me, Katie Nolan. It's a weekly podcast where we talk about all the sports, kind of, and then other things.
I'm very anxious suddenly. Ew. Nobody cared or paid attention to our show, but you notice, like, people are paying attention in a way that's like, okay, all right. So now when I say something that normally I'm like, I didn't, like, mean it, and there's articles written about it, you're like, oh.
So tune in. You can listen and subscribe in the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So you should do that.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
May baseball begins at Target Field, a 7-10 game coming up on Wednesday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. It's Martin Perez for the Twins. Colin McHugh, right-hander, throwing for the Astros on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Colin McHugh. There's a throwback to the APC days with Tyler Ryder.
Friend of the show? Not he hasn't never, been on the show.
Was never but... on the show, but we had a nice conversation with him. In the visitor's bullpen at Wrigley Field, back when you used to be able to, when you were in the first row, you could reach out and almost touch the players. They did not allow you or did not let you do that, but you could have conversations with these guys. I had a great chat with Carlos Marmol back in the day, sitting down the third base line near the home bullpen before they did the renovations. Colin McHugh, Team Long Island Iced Tea, and that's all I'll say about that. 319-366-1600. Martin Perez got a name drop last week when we had Mitch Garver on the show with us talking about Martin Perez's slider and his arsenal, which he's brought to Minnesota this season and has tried to take a step forward in his career. Let's talk NBA here because we haven't. You know what? Before we do that, hockey game tonight.
Right? There is a hockey game tonight.
Yeah. I feel I've neglected
it's okay.
to allow you your opportunity to pump up your hometown St. Louis Blues.
They're up 2-1. They're looking to go up 3-1 tonight before they head back to St. Louis for game 5. So that game it's going to be another long night because the NHL loves starting games at 8:30.
I was up till midnight last night watching the Cubs.
So I'm pretty sure I will be up till at least midnight watching the Blues tonight.
And there was no Stanley Cup on the line last night in Seattle at T-Mobile Park. But Kyle Schwarber sent the Cub fans home happy.
You mentioned your former co-host Tyler Ivins, a huge New York Islanders fan. They are tied at 1 against the Carolina Hurricanes. They trail that series 2-0. So they're looking to get on the board in that series.
Cardinals and Cubs still shutting out their respective opponents today. Cubs up 6-0 on Seattle. Cardinals up 3-0 now in the bottom of the second in Washington. The NBA playoffs, that's got to be it for Houston after last night, right? Kind of a demoralizing loss at the hands of Golden State.
I didn't think they had much chance in the series to begin with, but they always say it's never over until a team loses at home. But it's over, right? James Harden got smacked in the face and had blood in both of his eyes, could barely see, came back. I'll give him credit for gutting that performance out, but Golden State takes a commanding 2-0 lead in the series.
We mentioned last night that these two series really had the feel of conference finals instead of semifinals. You had the Warriors going up 2-0 on the Rockets with that 115-109 victory. In the East, The series now even at one game apiece between the Celtics and the Bucks. Boston jumps out to a 30-25 lead after the first quarter. Celtics look like they've got all the momentum in the world. They could go up 2-0. And then inexplicably, there's a 22-2 run, and the Bucks never look back. They outscored Boston 39-18 in the third quarter. They win the game by 21 points, 123-102. Series now even at one game apiece. And I'm starting to believe that Milwaukee is going to be a team that can give Golden State a run in the finals. They've got the NBA sort of needs is they need Giannis, who's sort of a regional folk hero in Milwaukee. They need to elevate him, I think, onto the national stage.
They really do. And he's one of the guys that should be elevated.
The best way for that to happen is for Milwaukee to reach the finals. The Bucks, and this is the revival of a franchise that in the 70s was one of the best in the NBA, and then have fallen on really hard times, not to go too far down into the Dusty Rhodes rabbit hole, but you want to talk hard times. The Milwaukee Bucks have been awful in recent decades, and now they've got this transcendent superstar. It doesn't help that very few people can pronounce his name, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
But you should listen to the Lebatard show in the morning. Try to have Stugatz pronouncing that. But I don't know which way to lean in this series, because some of the issues that have plagued the Celtics during the regular season sort of popped their head, reared their ugly heads again last night, yeah, especially in that 20. Who gives up a 22-2 run in the playoffs?
I think it was Brent Bloom of Cyclone Fanatic that said that something to the effect of if you have a team that makes 20-plus three-point shots in a game, you like their chances. It's what Milwaukee did last night. They went on that run, and they were not going to be stopped. Giannis Antetokounmpo gets to the free throw line 18 times. And if that guy develops any type of shot, he was two for four from beyond the arc, and there are signs that he's getting better shooting, he will be the best player in the league before too long. And this is where I like to remind Minnesota Timberwolves fans that they selected Shabazz Muhammad one pick before Giannis Antetokounmpo in the 2013 draft.
There are some really good freezing cold takes out there about not only Giannis, but I know when the Knicks drafted Kristaps Porzingis, there were a number of people that were just piling on the Knicks for that selection.
I know somebody that was. He used to sit in this chair.
Yeah, didn't really like it at the time, but turns out pretty good ball player. 319-366-1600. One game on tap tonight, and that is game two between the Blazers and the Nuggets. There is a tie there, an Iowa tie. Iowa State's Monte Morris had a fantastic season with the Nuggets, a major part of the reason why they're the two seed in the West. They lead that series 1-0. That tips off at 8 o'clock tonight on TNT. Denver, a 4-point favorite at home.
I enjoy watching Denver. I started watching them a little bit when we had Monte Morris, friend of the show, joining us earlier this season, and they're just so solid. And Nikola Jokic is one of the most underrated players in the league, where you're starting to see not just the game changing with the point guards and the wing players, because those guys have always been able to shoot in the NBA, but you're starting to see guys like Nikola Jokic and some of these centers, some of these big guys, be able to distribute the basketball, have a mid-range game, be able to step out. And he is one of those guys. The Denver Nuggets don't necessarily have any guys you would label superstars, but a bunch of really fun. It's one of those where are they now type moments where you remember Gary Harris from his days back at Michigan State, or his couple of years there. Jamal Murray was good for 1 year at Kentucky. And then guys like Paul Millsap, who have been journeyman, solid NBA players. So the Denver Nuggets are fun to watch, and they're just demoralizing. I think that they're going to just pound Portland into submission in the paint, which is something that the Oklahoma City Thunder should have tried to do, and they never did. And that's why they have a lot of people calling for Billy Donovan's job in Oklahoma City.
The Hurricanes are on the power play right now against the Islanders. As you mentioned, Carolina leads that series 2-0, 2 minutes remaining in the first period in that contest. And Blues and Stars, you mentioned it, you go up 3-1 tonight with a victory over Dallas. It's going to be tough to win on the road, but
4-0 on the road so far.
Didn't get a chance to discuss yesterday, but there have been some shenanigans in this series, right? You're not too happy with the play of certain Dallas players.
Issa Lindell is who you're speaking of, and there was a point during that game, and it actually was funny the way that things worked out. But Robert Bortuzzo, the defenseman from the St. Louis Blues, cross-checked him a couple times. He got called for the penalty. But the way that Lindell just flopped to the ice, like this was some kind of soccer match, like this was something that we were watching in the World Cup, was just an absolute joke. And he did it 3 times in a row. And the funny part about this is the Blues went up 4-3. The eventual game-winning goal, Patrick Maroon scored. He was so wide open near Ben Bishop in the Dallas net because he gave Lindell just sort of a small right-hand arm extension, and Lindell went flopping to the ice like he got hit by a freight train. So he was on the ice, and Maroon was wide open for the game-winning goal. So it was poetic justice.
I've tried really hard to get into this postseason with the Stanley Cup playoff, and
this is a tough one.
It's tough because all of the favorites got knocked out in the first round.
That's the problem.
I've always liked chaos, and I latched on to my former co-host's team because I want to see him happy. And so I said, okay, I'm riding with the Islanders here for as long as, and now they're in an 0-2 hole. And I can't bring myself to ride with the Blues. So,
that's fair. The Bruins.
You know what? Maybe this is the reverse hex. Maybe the Blues are going to win this thing.
Stop that.
The Blues are going to win this thing because it's going to be brutal for me to watch. And then you and Steve Kane, our sales manager, and Scott Unash, you can all dance on my grave because this will finally be the year that Jeff Johnson, all of you St. Louis Blues fans out there. I didn't know there were so many Blues fans. And boy, are you guys a vocal bunch.
It's like 11 of us. We're not that vocal.
You sound like 11,000 to me, especially when the Blackhawks have been knitting for the last 2.5 weeks, and you guys are looking good out there.
Yeah, but the Blackhawks won 3 cups in 6 years. You don't think I'd trade that right now for a franchise that has never won a cup?
And then, of course, with glorious roster management, have positioned themselves to win a 4th cup sometime in the next 50 years. Hockey's tough, and
it's brutal.
I said this at the beginning of the playoffs. It really puts things into perspective when you watch the four top seeds all out in the first round. Does that not put into perspective 3 cups in 6 years? I mean, be happy with what you've got and winning, just hope for better days ahead.
I hate using the dynasty word, but you win 3 cups in 6 years in the NHL, you have to be in consideration.
And now
be labeled that.
And now Joel Quenneville is cooling his heels with the Florida Panthers.
That team's going to be really good.
They are going to be really good.
Be really
he
good.
Said when he got hired there, he sees seeds of what he started in Chicago. And if you're looking for a bandwagon to jump on, you're looking for a hockey bandwagon to jump on, the Florida Panthers have plenty of room for you. 319-366-1600. Joel Booker joined us on the program earlier today briefly, the former Hawkeye outfielder promoted to AAA Charlotte after hitting .351 in AA with the Birmingham Barons. If you missed our segment with him, you can listen to the podcast. It'll be available for you shortly at kgymradio.com. We also discussed the breaking news of the day with Ed DeRosa of twinspires.com, breaking down this weekend's Kentucky Derby. The betting favorite, Omaha Beach, scratched for this weekend's race. The horse will not be running, and that really throws open what is still a 20-horse field. We'll have that race for you on KGYM this weekend. Zach Reimer made his initial appearance with us as well. Bleacher Report's lead Major League Baseball writer, discussing his thoughts on what the Cubs should do with Addison Russell. Theo Epstein announcing yesterday that when Russell is eligible to rejoin the team on May 3rd, he will be optioned to AAA Iowa and presumably will cool his heels in Des Moines for an extended period of time in which he will work at second base and shortstop. They will not hesitate to bring him back to the big leagues if something were to happen to Javier Baez and they needed a shortstop. But this is a public relations nightmare for the Cubs. They've mishandled this from the get-go, and it's a no-win situation for anybody right now. And we're not done talking about it. 319-366-1600. We'll have more Major League Baseball discussion on the program tomorrow. Tim Anderson made some pretty interesting comments about where he sees himself in the game of baseball today as not only a visionary, but sort of a trailblazer, a modern-day Jackie Robinson. Yikes. He's fun to watch, though. Bat flips and all. 366-1600. Woodja on tap tomorrow. And your opportunity to take home two tickets to see Hairball in concert at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Hairball coming to the home of the Cedar Rapids Colonels July 6th. Tickets on sale now at colonels.com. Make sure you join Scott and Mark tomorrow. Local programming returns at 3 o'clock. It's a Thursday. That means a check-in in Las Vegas with Smokin' Dave Koken. Local programming picks up with the gym class. That'll do it for tonight. Twins baseball on the way, 107.5 FM. Thanks for listening. And if you missed anything, a podcast is available now at kgymradio.com.